You're listening to Fakeologist's Audio Chat. To connect to our always-on and always-streaming audio chat, go to fakeologist.com/radio3. To participate in the chat, go to fakeologist.com/audio chat. Each day, we compress and upload the day's chat, be it big or small. Leave a quick message, do a whole show. All are welcome when it's related to fakeology. Now, on with today's audio.
All right, Chubbs. So here we are. We're on Fakeologist Audio Chat on the 11th of June, 2017. I'm with my favorite Canuck. No, he's not my favorite Canuck. I think my favorite Canuck would have to be Ab. How are you, Chubbs?
Yeah, don't lie, Rolo. That's not good. I'm all right.
All right, man.
I'm coming close to the end of my night. I got 1.5 beer left, so not sure how long I'm gonna last. But
all right. Well, we just heard that Adam West has gone upstairs.
Adam West.
Do you know who Adam West is?
You mean the fucking actor or what?
Yeah, the Batman.
Yeah. Excuse me. Yeah, I know who he is. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to miss him. He's gone to the DCP.
Oh, you mean he fucking died?
I think he did. 88 years old. I think he's dead.
Well, I guess he won't be doing the voiceover on Family Guy anymore.
Family Guy was so good, wasn't he? Mayor Adam West. That's right. Okay. Well, there you go. I thought I'd start with something a little light because, what do you want to talk about? Micro sexy microscopes or,
Was I talking? I think I can't remember the last time if we were ever in conversation where I was probably fucking yapping about electronics.
I tell you what. I would love to have been a pillion passenger. When you were being chased by the cops, we never got that on audio. I would have been hanging on the back while you are what, doing 300 k's an hour?
I think at the time when the police, I don't want to exaggerate anything. As far as what I remember, I think probably the maximum speed I hit when the police helicopter was following me was about 265 kilometers an hour. I don't want to say. I mean, the bike did 300, but I don't think I quite. I mean, I wasn't driving on the freeway on a straight road, right? You got to remember that too. You made the news, right?
And you made the news. So let's. Could you actually, twice that summer. Have you still got the
once
link?
Once for my YouTube
video. Have you still
video?
Got the link that you can throw into the chat so we can actually see?
The one with the police helicopter one, I can't throw you a link for that.
Yeah.
Because I never posted it online. I just have it on DVD from Disclosure from the court. Yeah.
Throw that into a Dropbox and allow us access to it? Because that would be cool to have a look at.
It would be the only link I could probably give you is the video that got me into trouble, which is not even
look at that now.
It's not even a big fucking deal. It's just like even when I talked to the cops, they said but of course, you know, this is the thing is like you don't have any privacy online, right? I posted the video. Because my brother, what happened really was with the video, the only person I told, like, when I uploaded it to YouTube was my younger brother, right? And he decided to share it on Facebook, right? And whatever, I mean, I didn't tell him not to or whatever. I didn't think anything of it. I didn't make the video, you know, to be cool or anything. So he shared it on Facebook. And somehow the next day, within like basically 12, 14 hours, somehow somebody in the media got a hold of that link, saw my video, and of course they sensationalize it in the news. It's what they do. It's like, as I was trying to say when I was telling the story when I was on the last live stream, I was like, well, you know, even not everything in the media or in the news is fake, but they spin it. You know, they'll fucking sensationalize shit just, you know, to get ratings, to get whatever, right? And like, I can give you a link on the video that got me into trouble. I can't give you a link to the my
I really
chase video.
I'm not that interested in it, to tell you the
fine. I'm not here trying to promote it or anything. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying is that that's basically what happened. It's like that's even when the media posts quote unquote a real story, it's always about sensationalism. The same thing when the helicopter was following me. It's like, you know, it was because the reason I came to the police the cops' attention is because I. And having dealt with the cops is what basically happened is, okay, they saw my YouTube video, the media did, they went to the police station, right, because the media and the cops are kind of, you know, the cops are fairly responsive to what you would call media pressure, right, because they feel that, you know, if it's on the news, then they so basically, this is what cops told me, right, after the fact, right, is that when I put that YouTube video out there, basically, a news reporter went to the police chief directly here in fucking Edmonton, took out his cell phone with my fucking video on it, and they're like, see, look, blah, blah, blah. Now, what are you guys going to do about this, right? Because apparently I was apparently a crazy motorbike fucking, you know, whatever, right? And so now, see, the cops feel like they're under media pressure. So what the cops do? They hacked my fucking YouTube account, traced my IP address, and once they knew who I was, they were always fucking, you know, they're basically following me, right? And I usually, you know, I'm not saying I rode like that all the time, but it was like, I was coming from the south side of the city. It was like 2:33 in the morning on a Wednesday night. There's like absolutely fucking nobody on the road, pretty much, right?
Yeah, that's right.
And so, okay. And so yeah.
Yeah. Chubbs. Chubbs, I heard the story before.
Yeah.
So. You're an absolute champ, and you're very confident on the mic. So you have spoken to Ab about where you were on 9/11. You've given him the whole story about 9/11?
No, he never actually – I don't know if I did. You know, I mean, I
– All right. Well, let's hear it right now. Here we go. We're here with Chubbs. He is a Canuck. The same as Ab, and hopefully I've just messaged Ab to get in here. I've messaged Ab to get him here.
Oh, I don't know if Ab.
So we'll have.
No,
it'll be fine. It'll be fine. So let me just go through the simple questions, Chubbs. Do you mind if you ask how old you are?
Not at all. I'm what am I? 45, I think.
45. Okay, so I'm 47. Okay, so on 9/11, you were how old? How old were you on 9/11? My math is terrible.
Yeah, mine too. 17 years before. So minus 17 years off of that. So 30. Wait, 17. No, wait. Yeah, well, that would be 17. Yeah, 17 years. So do the math.
So you're 17 years old. 7 years old, okay.
Well, I said minus 17 years off my age. Don't ask me to do any math right now, so, I mean, obviously.
All right, let me work it out. Let me work it out. You're 45, and it was 17 years ago, so 35. You were 28.
Yeah.
28, okay.
Yeah, about that, yeah, that sounds about right.
The planes hit the towers, and I'm sure we've had this conversation before.
I don't think I've talked to you about it, to be
honest. No. Okay, so do you believe planes hit the towers?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
I mean, that's a no-brainer, honestly.
Okay. And anyways, the tower collapsed, and do you believe that jet fuel can melt steel, like, or do you need oxyacetylene or box cutters?
No, I don't believe any of that. Absolutely not. I don't believe Judy would. I don't believe in mini nukes. I don't believe any of that bullshit. So, I mean, just to sort of clarify that with you, Rolo, is that
hello.
You know, I'm not on any of those bandwagons of any of those theories. Sure. So,
Rolo,
in case you were going to ask me, but
we've got another who's joined us.
So Hallahan.
Oh, hello. How are you, mate? So we got a Hallahan from Korea. Have you met Chubbs before?
Oh yeah. Yeah. I talked to Chubbs a few times. So
Hallahan, you saw someone, in Bohemian Grove or something. What's going on there, man?
Oh, that's a whole story, dude.
Can you 25 words or less?
Well, basically I've got a friend that was invited to Bohemian Grove and, he saw some weirdness. Chubbs, there's an echo. I don't know.
I think that's for you, brother.
It could be. I can hear my voice in the speaker saying anyway.
Go back to the Sort it out. I'll just stick with Chubbs for the moment because Chubbs was here first.
No, it's not me. It's coming from Chubbs' speakers.
Is it? Hey, Chubbs.
Yeah.
Throw your mics on. Throw your earphones on, brother.
No, I don't have headset, but I turned my.
Oh, okay. All right, Helen.
I turned my mic down a bit, and I turned my
no, that's fine.
Down too. So hopefully that's not keep happening.
There we go. Let's all go together now. Everybody, go. Hello, hello.
Hello.
Hello. Just say hello together.
That's it. Yep.
Hello. There's no echo now.
Yeah, you did it, Chubbs. I had a friend that gave me a paradigm shifting story. Just a background on my friend. We've been friends for three years or something, and he's a podcaster. You know, the only thing he doesn't mind me telling the story. He just doesn't want his name associated with it. It frightens him. And
why?
If I
what's he frightened of?
Well, the story was he went to Bohemian Grove and he started, you know, hobnobbing with, you know, these, you know, the guy that was living in his bungalow was a Rothschild. And he told me it wasn't one of the Rothschild names that we would know. He was a Rothschild. He was a millionaire, but he wasn't one of the ones that everyone knows. And you know, to make a long story short,
please make it short.
He walked into he walked into the you know, he woke up early and he walked into the bathroom to brush his teeth, and the door was ajar, and you know, he peeked in to make sure that it was empty or whatever, and there was a lizard there standing.
Oh, come on.
No.
Come on. Is this David Icke stuff or what?
This is David Icke. What happened was, you know, I was telling him that, you know, I like David Icke, but the problem with David Icke is when he starts talking about lizard men, and that's where he loses me. I don't know what the hell he's talking about, you know, and, he says, I got a story for you. And that was the story he told me. And,
Hold that thought. Chubbs, what are your thoughts on lizard men and whatnot? Got any thoughts on that?
Well, you know, people can tell stories. I mean, again, I'm not 100% sure, but it's like, for me, lizard people, aliens, et cetera, I don't believe in any of
Well,
to see it
you
with
know,
my own eyes, I'm not. Yeah. Gonna, I don't care what anybody tells me. I'm just.
Yeah, I mean, I stopped saying I don't believe it after I got my head around flat Earth. That's when I stopped believing.
Dan, for the moment, would you mind just going on mute? I'm just going to have a chat with Chubbs.
Oh yeah, yeah.
We'll come back to you, mate.
Yeah. Oh, sure. You know what? I'll hop out and just message me if you want to, you know, chat some more. I know that you're. I just wanted to come in and say hello. I haven't talked to you in like 2 years. And,
No worries. Yeah, Helen. Yeah. Helen. Yeah. Just pop your mic on mute. I'll have a chat with Chubbs and we'll come back to you. All right, my brother.
Yeah. Go for it.
No worries, mate.
Hmm.
Okay. So go to mute. Just the mute button. You can do it. I know I can do it this end, but. You do it. Okay. So, Chubbs, back to you, brother. Okay.
So if we're going to continue.
Well, we can talk about lizard people or what until the cows come home.
No, I'm just saying that you were asking me about 9/11.
Yeah, 9/11, and where you were on 9/11, and the wonderful chat that John LeBon had the other day with a guy called Negantropic. Once you eliminate the impossible, everything must be.
Did you ever listen to some of his shit that he puts together? It's like fucking some of it's like 6-7 hours long and pretty interesting.
Oh, the Negantropic stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, he cuts it together and does a good job. But yeah, you tell me what are your thoughts on the guy and JLB's effort today? You listen to JLB's?
All right, but just to be clear, like
yeah, we'll be clear.
To follow you, like you. You want me to skip past on where I was at on 9/11 and just go?
No. Go back to exactly where you were. Sorry, I didn't mean to. Sorry, O'Halloran knocked me out of my treehouse.
I'm fine. I can go wherever you want. I'm just saying, I'm not sure if you want to keep it linear or just skip to wherever.
I prefer to keep it linear. Why not? We'll keep it linear.
All right. So then, Ab may have asked me this like fucking 3 years ago before I got banned.
Well, let's hear it again. Let's hear it again. Thank you, brother.
I may have. I'm not sure if I did, but anyways, no. Where I was at on 9/11, I actually right about the time here, I was off to work, and what I would do is because I worked in an industrial area, so I would catch the bus. Small on the south side, and I would catch a cab to work there, right? Because it was cheaper, ever. And so I didn't, I get in.
Yeah, so you on the south side of LA, you were living in
Edmonton,
LA?
Edmonton, not LA.
Edmonton.
Alberta, Canada, whatever. Anyway, so I woke up, got ready, caught the bus, and I was catching a cab to go to work from there. And I get in the cab, and the cab driver, and, East Indian guy, whatever. So he says to me, did you hear about the planes hitting the buildings, this and that? And I'm like, I didn't have a cell phone, fucking anything at the time. And it was like, no. And that's when I very first heard of it. So I was on my way to work when I heard about it. Of course, I got to work and I never, I can't luxury to sit down and, radio, I'm going to watch. But I did before I got to work, I heard about it. And I was like, a little bit floored by it. I was like, holy hell. And that was my day on 9/11. That's when I heard about it. As for what I thought of it, I always was mistrusting of authority. I automatically assumed that, whatever. It was like, talking about the Osama bin Laden meme out, right? I was a bit skeptical about that. I was like, quite makes sense. But, I was shrugging my shoulders while I'm like, oh, that time I was like thinking the news was telling me some truth at least, right? So but I was like, I was fine with it until probably, 3-4 years. And then from there, I went down all kinds of fucking redwoods and fucking mini nukes and many, many things.
Yeah. But
I think you know what I mean.
Yes.
And I figure I kind of, after looking at everything, I think, I'm not saying I figured it all out, but I think. From the evidence that I've seen, I'm pretty close. Oh, they pulled it off. I'm not saying I exactly know. Asinine of me to
say. Yeah, but you. I mean, am I coming through clearly here? Because you're breaking up just slightly.
You hear me now?
Yeah, perfect. Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry, I had to do that.
And then 9/11.
Sorry, Rolo. It's not.
No,
me.
No, it's fine.
It's the program. It does sometimes.
Yeah.
It goes in the red, so I have to disconnect and reconnect. So
it's all good. It's all good. So that mightn't have come through quite clearly, but I think we've heard the message before. So you knew you were the basic story that we were given on 9/11. You were. And you heard the basic story. Now, let's just shift on way forward to when you when did you find September Clues, or when did you find out that, you know, how did that affect you within yourself? Like, when you knew that that no planes hit the buildings that day, that it CGI?
Well, you know, the date, I can't remember. I mean, I was going down every bit trail you can imagine.
You're still breaking up. I don't. My fault? Is it my end?
Well, here, let me. I'll try to turn up my mic a little bit.
Yeah, go again.
And see if that's any better.
No, that's great.
Okay. Before I came across September Clues as an example, like I said, I was pretty much, I went down every rabbit trail, you know, like I said, with, like, you know, Judy Wooden. There's that, I can't remember that Russian guy's name, where he was like saying, well, they used mini nukes and all this stuff. I saw that interview, and, you know, just pretty much everything under the sun basically before that. And then I came across the no plane theory. And at first, to be honest, I was kind of like, at first I was very skeptical of it. I was thinking, this sounds like disinfo or bullshit, you know, that there were no planes. However, I'm the kind of person that I always, no matter what, I always try to keep an open mind, right? I never think to myself that I've figured it all out and there's nothing else I can learn. And, you know, like I make up my mind that, you know, it's set in concrete and it's like, well, you know, this is what I believe and fuck everything else, right? So I was always well, I'm always open
mini nukes,
to...
Let me just go back to the mini nukes. It was Don Fox and Jim Fetzer were massive under that. And an old mate, the young lady, she was into mini nukes as well. I've forgotten her name, but Don Fox is definitely mini nukes. But Jim Fetzer. I don't want you to filibuster me, but you can. No, it's awesome. I just want to have a back and forth. I don't want you to just go for like 10 minutes. Otherwise, I'll lose my train of thought and nothing will work.
Yeah.
But well, keep going.
I just wanted to make a quick mention. I'm not going to keep rambling on. The quick mention is, I think the mini nuke thing, and I can't remember, it was what got me, well, kind of gave it a thought before I realized that nuclear weapons were a fucking fraud anyways, but I didn't know that at the time. But I think it was supposedly this Russian, I don't even know if he was really Russian, but he had a Russian accent. And I think he was the one that spread that, what I call disinformation. And yeah, I'm sure Jim Fetzer, you know, like, I mean, the guy's okay on some things, but other times it's like talking to an idiot, you know.
What things do you think Jim Fetzer is okay on?
I think he did a pretty good job on Sandy Hook, honestly. I mean, I can't take that away from the guy. I mean.
But Sandy Hook was a slam dunk.
Yeah, but I mean, he, you know, and then
Sandy Hook was a slam dunk. I mean, the they were onto that from the beginning. The people round and round. Kids, I mean, it was Sandy Hook was just
saying,
easy
just
peasy.
Saying.
I mean, even
yeah,
Jeff C
was
under
easy peasy
under Sandy Hook. Jeff C's like one of the most loony. Like he says, everything's real now, Jeff C. But yeah.
I fucking hate that guy. And he's Canadian.
Oh, yeah, I know.
I fucking hate him. If I met that guy in person, I'd probably punch him in the face.
Would you?
Seriously.
Punch him? Are you a violent man?
I can be. I'm a pretty peaceful person, but.
I like to think so. Because
if you
when
push
we're talking
my buttons
about subjects,
the wrong way, I'll fucking punch you out.
What about JLB? Would you punch him in the face, John LeBron?
I've talked to John LeBron. I think if I met him in person, I think I would get along with him pretty well.
Well, I've invited him down to my house, and I hope he comes in August. And and we might do some audios together. And but that's off topic. But
yeah.
no, it's not. Nothing's off topic here. on psychologist.com. No, here I am with Chubbs. Chubbs, a lovely Canuck. And I thought I met you the time where we never ever spoke on Chris Kendall's show. What do you think of Chris Kendall and the work he does?
Oh man, do you really want my opinion on Chris Kendall?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, everything's open for discussion here on fakeologist.com.
I'm not entirely sure that he's not a disinfo agent, to be honest with you. Listen to his shows. Some of them are interesting. And many times, you know, the way he rambles on and on, I'm like, sometimes I'm thinking, like, is this guy an idiot savant or, like, what? Like, I mean, again, that's just my opinion, but. And the thing is, for me personally, the thing is, I know, like, the last time I did this live stream when it was me, Ab, and Silverbeam, and shit, I can't remember who else. And I think John LeBon was there too that one night, the last time I did a live thing. And of course I kept bringing up the Jews, right? And Ab wasn't liking that too much. I could tell that, right? Because he was you're trying to convince us it's the Jews. I'm like, no, dude, I'm just giving you my opinion. I'm not trying to convince you or anyone of anything,
Have you got an issue with the Jews? Like, which Jews?
Absolutely. Of course I have an issue with the Jews. Why wouldn't I have an issue with the Jews? I'm white. Everything in their religion and their teaching is basically about exterminating what I consider.
Okay, being the Goyim, you're the Goyim, right?
The Goyim, and especially, I mean, they consider everyone Goyim, not just the white race, but above everyone else, they seem to have this vested interest. They consider their number one enemy, aside from everyone, but the Aryan people, right, which to me is my folk. And so they want to, through mass immigration, they pretty much want to sort of erase the white race, right? Because
this is a game we're playing, that we're playing in the human race. You think where did you get this? Where did you get the this sort of are you well read? You're well read in like the Talmud and all of the. I'm not well read, but I sometimes think it's a game we're playing in this human race.
Actually,
is it the race to the top? Like, and what happens when the Jews? Let me ask this question: if the Jews do wipe all the Goyim out, which they probably don't want to do because we do all the work, they'd probably just fight amongst themselves, wouldn't they?
Well, they don't want to wipe all the Goyim out. That's not the thing. I mean, despite what a lot of people think, they just want to take over the world and kill everybody. No. That's not what they want. What they want, what they're afraid of, is the only people that have ever basically stood up to the Jews and the things that they do were always the Aryan peoples. I don't want to use the word white because I think that's a stupid term.
All right, Aryan, that's fine.
And, you know, that's why they got kicked out of 109 places in the past. And the Jews are like, don't forgive and don't forget, right? So this carries on generationally with the Jews, especially with the elite ones, right? They don't forgive and they don't forget. If they got kicked out of some, city or country, European country, but it's always white people doing it, right? So happened 200, 300 years ago, that happened, the Jews never forgot about that. And they're going to have their, to them, they're going to have their revenge, right? They're going to get Cubs. Even.
Cubs, how about we make a stance right now, right here, right now. We'll forgive and try to forget. How about that?
That doesn't work.
All the crap the Jews have done, anyone else has done, right now, let's forgive.
Right.
I know. I've had some shit done to me, Chubbs. I've had some really crappy things done to me. I'm prepared to forgive.
I'm not going to forgive because you know what?
Why
it's
won't
like,
you
it's like, this is like, this is almost like you're almost telling me Christian ideology, which is turn the other cheek. But when the enemy
relentlessly, I don't even believe in God.
I'm not saying that you do. I'm saying is that what you're basically kind of telling me is actually, kind of Christian ideology, where in the Bible it says, you know, love your enemy, turn the other cheek. And see, the Jews believe in the opposite. Don't love you, hate your enemy, do not turn the other cheek.
Well, come and get me, you fucking Jews, then. I mean,
they are coming to get you, man. They're destroying your country. They're stealing your wealth.
Well,
what?
Look,
so they're doing it. I mean, they are doing it right now. So, well, what? There you go. It's like here. I mean, here in Canada, for example, what? I see it in my neighborhood. I see it on the bus. We got all these Muslim, quote unquote, refugees here. They get like $3,000 a fucking month, you know, in government aid or whatever you want. They got housing, they got everything. They drive nicer cars and dress better than I do as a working fucking stiff. Yeah, well, what? What am I supposed to think about that?
I know. Look, in the past, I've gone into with John LeBon, I went into circumcision, I went in. All sorts of different people and different things they do. Is the system wrong? Is the system wrong? The money system. How can we fix what's in the world? What's wrong with the world for you? Why are you here? And why, Fake? I'm here because I still don't think hardly anyone in the world knows that steel towers can't melt or fall down and planes hit them. That's the only reason I'm here. Basically, I'm a one-trick pony. You know what I mean?
Okay, well, fair enough. I mean, why I'm here is, for example, I came here for example, O'Hallahan, you know, I've heard him on fake.
We'll invite him back. Well, let's invite him back in. Come on, O'Hallahan. Come on.
Yeah, if he's still around.
Yeah, no, I'll just drag him into the, I don't know how to use this program. Find me. O'Hallahan, grab, throw him there. I don't know how to use the program well enough. He's been a nice guy though. He's letting us go. So where were we? What were you going to say?
Oh, no, wait. Well, you asked me why I do come on or why I came on here, whatever.
Absolutely.
I mean, I was just going to give you the example of, like I said, I've heard O'Hallahan on chats with Ab and everything before. And so I was, you know, surfing around the net. And for example, there was this site that I visit. It's called Mammy's Shit, for example, and they have like a, you know, a chat thing on the side. And I was like, somebody left a message. You know, it wasn't anything. It was something of a check this video out or something, you know. And so I was like, and it was under O'Hallahan, and I was like, well, I remember O'Hallahan. Is that? I was wondering to myself, well, is that the same O'Hallahan that was basically hang around, you know, around fakeologists, right? I wasn't 100% sure because, you know, when people use aliases, you never know, right? I mean, somebody might be using the same one, you know what I'm saying? So I was kind of curious. I came here and I was like, yeah, and I talked to Alan. I'm like, hey, did you hang out at this website, blah, blah, blah? And he's like, yeah, that was me, whatever. I'm like, oh, okay. So, you know, and it's like, well, I don't know if O'Hallahan sees things the way that I do. I'm not saying he does. But it was nice to see that at least if he was hanging around the places that I was hanging around, he was at least a little bit Jew-wise, right? Like he kind of got what the hell was going on at least a little bit, right? So I mean, you never know. I mean, not everybody, even on a site like this, I don't know if people feel free to speak their minds, you know, like, oh, well, you know, if you say it's the Jews, like, you know, maybe people will make fun of you or something, right? Anyways, yeah. But again, we can change the subject. I don't want to get, you know, hung
up on
that.
That's fine. That's fine. I like freedom of speech. I tell you what, freedom of speech is, there was lovely, Carol Thomas came in before, and Ab was here before. Probably gone out and doing other, but, freedom of speech. There's nothing I love more, than people being able to speak freely. Cubs, man, if you're up there and, you need off your chest, here is the place to do it. I mean, you've been verified, and anyone, that Ab, verifies, basically can come into the audio live stream. Yeah. John LeBron did the other night. I mean, John LeBron, agitated, but, people have some issues. Go public. You're gonna attract detractors. You're gonna attract even people that are out for nefarious reasons. I'm aware. Life is good for me. For you, Chubbs, you got a nice fast motorcycle. You can
well, get away from the cops I still have the bike, but I don't have a license to drive it anymore. So all I can do is look at it at this point in time. So I do miss it, but that's another long story, which I don't want to get into about why I don't bother getting my license back. I could get it back, but I know it's a matter of principle too. It's like when I was talking to the cops, I'm like, I told them kind of to fuck off. Then I'm like, you know, you want my license? You want to take it away? You fucking keep it. And they're like, I'm like, and I brought up contract law, right? I'm like,
how's that?
Well, so anyways, what I brought up to the cops, right? And they fucking pulled me over. I'm like, okay, I said, why can't I renounce my driver's license? Like, you know. And the cop says, well, you can't do that. I'm like, well, why not? I said, then I asked him, I'm like, well, I said, like, I don't know how it is in Australia, but here in Alberta, you can get your learner's when you're 14 and your driver's license technically when you're 16. And so I asked the cops, I'm like, well, so can you explain to me how I could get into a contract with the government at the age of 14 that's legally binding the rest of my life, apparently, you know, when I can't even get married until I'm fucking 18 fucking years old, but yet I'm bound to a lifetime contract that I entered without parental consent when I was 14 years old. And, you know, and I brought this up to them, and, you know, I don't bring up this free man on the land.
You got no
shit. And then both of them, you know what they did? Because there was two cops there, and I was like, they looked at each other, and then they looked at me, they looked at each other, they looked at me, and didn't say a fucking word, because they didn't fucking know. Because I made them think, I'm like, they were probably thinking, well, yeah, how the hell can you get into a lifetime, lifelong binding contract at the age of 14? And so they had no answer for me, and I know they never, ever fucking thought about it. I'm not saying that, you know, wins me any brownie points.
I mean, but cops are there. They're basically security guards. They're sort of, security guards.
Security guards. That's, I like that. Security guards. Yeah.
Well, yeah. There's nothing else. But law and all of that, I've never been too hot on that either because, they can change the law. They can retroactively change the law sometimes these days.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, Rolo, if you think about it, you know, and especially, I mean, I can only speak, I think this is probably somewhat accurate just as far as I know in Western countries because that's all I've ever lived in, but, for example, take jurisdiction. Well, what is jurisdiction? Is it a geographic location? Well, some people might say so, but it's really not. Because, for example, here where I live in Alberta, 100 years ago, actually it'd be 102 years ago, sorry, because it became a province in 1905, so it's 112 years ago. This place wasn't even Alberta, right? It was just a piece of land. And so, well, what is jurisdiction? Because they say, well, you're in the jurisdiction of Edmonton, Alberta, et cetera, et cetera. But that's a legal fiction. You see, if you really look at it, it's just a fiction. So if I ask, when I go to court, the first thing that the prosecutor has in any case is, well, jurisdiction. If they're going to give you a traffic ticket, are they going to charge you with a crime, anything? Well, the first thing is that if the prosecutor can't prove jurisdiction, it doesn't matter what you did. You could have committed murder for all that matters, but if they don't have any jurisdiction in this system of so-called law, they got nothing, right? Because if they can't prove jurisdiction, they're fucked, right? They don't have a case. Whether even if you are guilty, let's say you did murder somebody, but if the prosecutor can't prove jurisdiction, you get to walk free. And then the thing is, because this whole legal system is a fiction, all of it is pretty much a fraud because we're not under common law, we're under commercial law. So everything under commercial law is pretty much a fucking fiction. They just make shit up because jurisdiction is a fiction. So once you understand that, then you go, well, okay, if the court was actually rational and reasonable, it would be like, okay, so once you establish that jurisdiction is a fiction, I'm a real person, I exist, I'm flesh and bone and substance, so how the hell are you going to prove to me or to anyone that I'm inside of a fucking cartoon? It doesn't work.
I just sent a message to Ab. I said, where are you, Ab? Psychologist, where are you? I need you now. I cannot have this conversation with you.
That sounds dirty, Rolo. I don't know. I need you now. This.
Yeah, where are you, Ab? I need you now. And hopefully, or John LeBon at least. Come and help me out. Because seriously, Chubbs, I can't have this. I don't know anything about jurisdiction. I don't know anything about. When I got done DUI in 1997, you know what I just did? I pled guilty. $1,000 fine, and I lost my license for
a year.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's what I did.
Australia is very much like Canada in that sense. Yeah, that's what happens here too.
I can't argue legal precedents or there's nothing I can. There'd be pointless us doing that. All I know is that I know steel can't bend, can't be cut. Unless you've got oxyacetylene, seeing it, I know that.
Well, you got to expand your mind a little bit, Rolo, because I'm a welder by trade, and there's other things that cut steel, like a plasma torch too.
A plasma torch. All right. Well, there you go. Let's talk about that then. Tell me about the plasma torch, and could that have could they have had plasma torches help bring down the towers, or what do you think? How do the towers come down into their own footprint?
Well, here, can I, if you're going to give me, if you can give me about, I don't know, a minute or two maybe to explain what my theory. Excuse me.
Go for it, Cubs.
What my theory about the Twin Towers actually were. First of all, the towers in the beginning, when they were built, at the time that they were built, now you got to remember, the towers, each floor was about an acre in size, right? So now you have two buildings that are 110 stories high. So now, let's say 100 stories of office space because they had the commercial stuff in the base. In the bottom, and then you had the, especially in the one, you had the restaurant and stuff up top. So let's say collectively between the two towers, instead of 220 floors of office space, you had just 200 floors of office space, each floor being about roughly an acre in size. So in the early 70s, did Manhattan need basically 200 acres of office space? I mean, this is just a question, right? I'm just throwing this out there. Did it? No, they didn't. The economy wasn't even that good. There was absolutely no need for those buildings, but they built them anyways, because who funded the buildings? Well, the Rockefellers did, right? Sorry to mention that there were Jews, but anyways. My thing is that when they originally built those towers, they were like mostly for show. I think they finished some of the floors, and some of the floors may have been occupied through, you know, at times. I mean, the bottom commercial part of it was definitely finished, and people could go there and shop. And possibly there were some floors finished for office space, and they had the restaurant on the top, and the radio, the television tower, and all this stuff. I'm pretty sure that, but I think to begin with, the reason it was fairly easy to demolish those buildings was because all the floors weren't actually finished. Because I think from the very beginning, those buildings, they already knew what they were going to do with them. And when you think about it, the Jewish movie industry turned these buildings into a symbolic, representation of American commerce and all this stuff, and possibly, you know, liberty, freedom. I mean, this meme was going on in the Jewish Hollywood media for many, many years, you know. So they built up this symbology of what so-called these two towers, buildings represented, though they didn't represent that anyways, but you know, it's just a meme for the people, for the masses to buy it. And then when the masses watched these buildings collapse, it wasn't even just about these buildings collapsing for whatever reason, planes, no planes, whatever. That's not even that important. It's the meme of the whole thing that is important. And I don't think those towers were completely finished anyways. And again, I don't go with everything is fake. And I think the cleanup crew was, well, they were a cleanup crew. What did they know? They're just like, they're doing a job. And some of them were like, when they said, well, you know, there's just doesn't seem to be enough rubble here, you know? And the reason, you know, I stick to the Occam's razor principle. Well, why wasn't there so much rubble there? Well, maybe because there wasn't that much, as much material in those buildings as people would have thought. And so when you apply that logic to the fact that possibly those buildings were, you know, three quarters basically a shell, and then when they did, you know, demolish them, that obviously happened for real, then you go, well, okay, so now that makes sense why there might not have been as much rubble as, you know, people would have thought, because, well, there just wasn't that much material in the buildings. You know, it was a lot of it was just a facade, right? And I know this theory is probably maybe, I don't know if anybody out there is on board with what I'm saying, but, it's just from the things that I've looked at, that is like my educated opinion on that is that they really weren't. They were, and even if I'm and I'll just say this much, even if I'm wrong about that, excuse me, but when they had John, I'm sober, obviously.
John,
you just said if you're more than
welcome. Come on in, and
Rollo seems
where were sober you? Where are you at that point? Where were you at that point? So if they came down, yeah. Keep going. Where you were?
Well, it's not about where I was at that point. It's just, what I came across and, of what I was trying to make sense of, you know, the things that I came across or, well, I guess the evidence that was presented to me
well, let's
and
just
I was
make it simple.
Trying to
let's
make sense
people,
of it, right?
Let's just do a keep it simple, stupid type thing, right? Okay. So
yeah,
obviously,
keep it simple.
I'm not calling you stupid.
No,
yeah,
no,
but,
no, I know.
Okay, so it's obvious that, to us that jet planes didn't hit the towers. That was CGI. And the tower collapses could not possibly be, go from top to bottom because of, steel and because we've eliminated the impossible, which is steel cannot melt, needs, shape charges or box cutters is the cool word that they want to, whack on us. So that day, what do you think they were, what were they trying to achieve apart from us getting grabbed on the nuts in, you know, when I want to get on an airplane to go, to a different airport or, what do you think, what were they up to? Are they trying to, I think John Le Bon's deep into, what does he call it? There's, books like Aldous Huxley and these people that are trying to control us. Do they think we're out of control? Do they not trust us?
Well, actually, I'm going to give you my opinion. It's not that they don't trust us. They don't give a flying crap. It's not about trusting us.
Why would they do? Why would they do this big, massive 9/11 psyop? Why would they do that to us? I mean, I think it's disgustingly, it's hurtful for that to do to a fellow man.
The Muslims
taking over the Muslim zone. It's obviously not the Muslims. The Muslims had nothing to do with it.
Look, it's all about manipulation and control. So we got this little state of Israel in the Middle East that feels threatened by these Arabs. And I've talked to a lot of Arabs and most of them are very quote unquote anti-Semitic. Even the cab drivers that I've met here. I bring up Jews. They totally know. Yeah. They fucking they know. I mean, you know, I know.
They're not
maybe
even
they just talk
about it.
But you know what? But this exists in the Middle East. So for the so-called Jewish state, okay, like you asked me a question. At least let me finish answering it.
Go for it.
As the Jews have established the state of Israel through very nefarious reasons and everything else, but nonetheless, so what they want is they want. What is called the Greater Israel Project. First of all, they feel that they're entitled to actually not just to Israel, but a lot of other lands around Israel. Now, basically 9/11 was like this catalyst for the United States and on all Western countries, basically, to do what the Jews don't want to do themselves, right? Because they don't want to die and fight in a war. If they can get stupid fucking white people, especially, to go and fight and pay for the war, to destabilize Iraq, Afghanistan, Syria, Libya, Yemen, and potentially go after Iran, why not? I mean, in some ways, I don't blame the Jews. I mean, you can get these idiots to do your dirty work for you. Why not? Why not? And 9/11
was a beautiful place before 1940, the Second World War. The world, certainly in the Middle East up there, it was a lovely place, wasn't it?
There,
it was a beautiful place. Everybody wanted to go to Lebanon for holidays and whatnot.
Yeah. And then the
English created the State of Israel, the British created the State of Israel, and now it's an absolute fucking Marrow.
Well, I mean, even when you get back into why the British went to Palestine in the first place, I mean, already the Jews were because basically England was controlled by Jews since like the 16, when the quote unquote Bank of England got established there. That was already a Jewish bank. So Britain was already screwed in the you know, mid to late 1600s when they let the Jews back in. Because Britain kicked the Jews out as well. But then, you know, after time, you know, somehow this is the thing with the Aryan people is like, they're always too nice. They kicked the Jews out because the Jews were behaving badly, not because everybody's an anti-Semite. It's like you realize, well, these people are into lying, cheating, stealing, usury, and everything else that, you know, at the time the Aryan people weren't into. So when they see the Jews behaving badly, you say, hey, could you please just get the hell out, leave? No, they didn't exterminate them or do anything. They just kicked them out. Just said, leave. You're banished, basically, right? And then, you know, give them 20, 30 years, 50 years, whatever. And all of a sudden, stupid Aryan people, they have amnesia. And the Jews come back, of course, right? And so, and eventually they got to the point where they managed to convince the British monarchy to let them, you know, have a Jewish bank in England. And ever since then, Britain was done for. I mean,
What's the answer? Like, what's the answer? A simple answer. Like, you know, when you have a fly in your house, you have fly spray. Do we need a fly spray for the Jews or something to get rid of them? Or like, because the Jews, I mean, the Jews, well, do produce a lot of, beautiful music and, they're quite talented.
It's mostly everything that the Jews ever produce is plagiarism. That's all they ever do. Like all I want to do is give you an example of one of the probably more famous Jews around that everybody knows about is Albert Einstein, right? He was a Jew and he's made out to be like this incredible genius. But then when you study the man, it's like, well, wait a minute. No, he plagiarized pretty much every idea he ever had, and most of them are not even accurate or whatever. And then you find out he was potentially also a pedophile and everything else, and he beat his wife. And, I mean, when you really study who this person was, and it's like the image that the media portrays you about Albert Einstein, and when you study what this person really was like, and it's like, it's so not even close to the same thing, right?
The only thing that I can understand is J.J. Abrams. He's a Jew, right? Has he ever done anything originally in his life? Do you know who J.J. Abrams is?
I've heard of him. I'm not very
familiar. Yeah, he's the guy that did the new Star Wars. He did the remake of Star Wars, it's nothing new.
It's all I mean it's sort of new in the sense in the way that it's presented, but like the Star Wars mythology actually is again, I don't sit here like this is a random talk, but I have looked into it. The Star Wars mythology is quite old. It's just in the movie sense, it's gotten a sort of a different spin on it, but the story is very ancient, very old, right? It's just like even some of the stuff in Christianity, whatever, it's just a retold story of something more ancient, you know?
Right. Hey, Chubbs. So, hey, Chubbs. What is your answer to, okay, Jewish? It's not the final solution. The final solution isn't the answer, is it?
No, I'm not. Or is that a Jew? I mean, if you're trying to get me to potentially say, well, the final solution is like because Hitler, buy into that stuff. But I mean, I don't advocate the harm and murder of anyone. The only thing I advocate is education, is that people understand what's going on.
And then we should all get on together? Do you think we should all get on together, Jew and Gentile? Jew and Goyim, if you want to use that word?
Well, you know what? If there are quote unquote Jewish people that don't buy into the doctrine of this racial supremacism and everything else, if they really don't, I have no problem going, hey, you know, no problem, you're on my side, whatever. That's fine. I don't have an issue with that. The thing is that I read a Jewish newspaper, Haaretz. I don't know if you're familiar with that publication.
Definitely.
And I think if memory served me right, it was close to when they did a poll, basically something about, you know, like about. I'll just sum it up as Jewish supremacism. 70% of the Jews believed in it. So, yeah, it's not all Jews that believe in it. But it's the majority of Jews that do believe in that. They are God's chosen people. Your only purpose, Rollo, sadly, is you're a fucking cow. Your purpose is just to serve them because they are God's chosen people.
How are we going to change this then? I mean, we've got John LeBon here. Maybe John will come in, and maybe John's got some answers. I don't know. I don't have the answers.
I don't know either. I don't have any answers. I'm not telling you I do.
Well, what's the question? Well, John LeBon. What seems to be the point of contention?
Well, John LeBon, have you been listening?
Yeah, I have. Yep.
Yeah, and do you see any answers in this?
Well, I'm not really sure what the question is. Like, I understand Chubbs has his issues. I mean, once you learn about the idea of just the word Goyim and this idea that some Jewish people, maybe not all of them, but some of them do actually view all non-Jews as animals just like cattle. That can be very disturbing for people. I know it was for me at first. I'm at a point now where I don't really think it's something where I just sit around and talk about it on end, but I can understand that for Chubbs this is a big deal. So I don't really know what the question is. That's just his,
What's the question, Chubbs?
I'm here. It's not a question. I didn't pose it as a question. I'm just saying it's like this is I just say I look at I like to look at things as you know, reality, that this is the situation. Now my solution, what is it? I don't know, you know, because there is a lot of people don't even want to talk about it. They don't want to discuss it. So
we're here to try and find answers, right? Let's try and find answers to the problem as in the human race. Human race, right?
Well, again, the human race, okay. Well, the thing about the human race, I mean, again, I have my different opinion on that as well. I mean, the human race, are we all created equal? Well, if you're going to tell me that, I'm going to say bullshit. No, we're not. That's a fucking complete lie.
No, we are right. All created.
Are we all created equal?
Well,
for whatever
we
reason, we're not. We're not created equal.
Oh, all right. Maybe if I'd come out of, say, Queen Elizabeth II's vagina, would I be the king, next king of England or something? is that what you're talking about? That's a systemic problem. We are all created equal.
No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about when you know, and this is one of those topics where, again, if you bring it up, I guess you seem racist, but when you study different races of people.
I hate everyone equally.
No, I don't hate everyone equally. I don't hate anyone, actually. I don't have any hatred in my heart for anyone. The thing of it is, though, I do look at reality. You see, that's the difference for me. And when you realize that if you look at Africa, the average IQ in Africa is 75. Doesn't mean everybody's completely retarded there, but the average population is not very intelligent. And that's just a fact. It's not because I'm not saying that because I want to feel superior to black people. No, it's got nothing to do with that. It's like you can't
internet access.
No, it's got nothing to do with internet access. There's been studies done. When you take, for example, a person of a relatively low IQ, you put them through school, university, yes, they do get a little bit more intelligent.
What's a high IQ and a low IQ? What does IQ mean to you? I mean, let me ask you
IQ, in the simplest term of what IQ is, well, the, obviously what it –
Well, ask John LeBond. John LeBond's a very, very intelligent
acronym,
go for it.
The acronym for IQ is intelligent quotient. Intelligent quotient. Now, what the so-called, well, what you would say the standard IQ test is, it tests your problem solving abilities, ability to see relationships in things and whatever. And yes, I know people make the argument, well, there's different kinds of intelligent, emotional intelligence and other kinds of intelligence. And I mean, I can't make an argument necessarily against that. However, by and large, when it comes to, if you have a job and you're doing something with me as a tradesperson and I have to fix something, it's not my intelligence that comes into play when I have a problem to solve at work. It's very much related to IQ because I have to solve that problem and it has nothing to do with my
John
emotional LeBron. Intelligence or anything else.
John LeBond, are you there, man?
Yeah, man.
Yeah. I'm going to go on mute for half an hour. See if you can make sense out of Chubbs because I can't make any sense.
Anyways, it's fine, dude. No problem. I'm okay with that. A lot of people probably can't make any sense out of me, so that's fine. Anyways, John, how are you?
I think it's an element of the whole idea of race realism, I think, is something that a lot of people, especially in Australia and probably your country as well, they're just too heavily conditioned to see it as being an evil topic of conversation. They're not really interested in it. So I'm not sure if it's not making sense. I mean, when you say that the IQ of Africans is 75, yeah, I was looking at a study recently which found that their average IQ was 70, which is two standard deviations below the middle, the average IQ, right? And that's only one study, and we're only talking about an IQ test, and the type of IQ test they used was purely pattern recognition. It was literally just patterns on a piece of paper. Here's a piece of that paper missing. Where would you put, which of these options would you put in there to keep the pattern going, right? So this is very rudimentary, but it is significant, the fact that there's this big difference between the black African. The study that I looked at was conducted in South Africa. So it is significant that there was a big difference between the, what you might call the native Africans, and between the whites of the same country. It is significant, but I mean, at the end of the day, Chubbs, can I ask you, man, when you talk about this, why is this something that's so important to you to talk about, is what I'm interested to know.
Well, I don't know, because it's something that's on my mind, because it, I'm here, I'm watching, I'm basically, this place is being invaded, for lack of a better word, and it's like, I feel that through brainwashing and everything else, people have been just like conditioned to go, well, yeah, multiculturalism is great. Well, why is it great? Really? Is it really great? And it's not, and again, it's not about hating or whatever anybody of any other race or even want to look down on them or anything like that or thinking that I'm superior because I'm white. It's just like, well, no, it's not that. Well, why is this happening? Why? Why do we need that? When I know for a fact that in China, you if you go there as a white guy, you can even marry a Chinese girl, you will never become a citizen of China. They're just not going to let that happen. Yeah, you can stay there.
My question, dude, when I say to you why, when you talk about this, is there something you're trying to achieve, or are you just getting it off your chest? Like, are you just wanting to get it off your chest, or is there...
I guess maybe it's a little bit of both. I would just like to get people to think about racial reality, I guess, is my point. I don't know if I can achieve that, or maybe I'm not, let's say, how to put it, well spoken enough, or maybe potentially intelligent enough to, you know, come on a chat channel, perhaps, or even if I had a YouTube channel, that I could express myself clearly enough to get the point that I want to get across to people, which is like to wake up to racial reality. It's just like when people say culture is a social construct. You know, I've heard that meme all my life. And then once I became racially aware, what I became aware of is, oh, wait, no, culture is an expression of people's genetics as a group, as a collective, not as an individual, but as a collective, just like Western culture is what it is, or was what it was. Now it's a Jewish culture, but what it was is because the countries were mostly white. So for better or for worse, I'm not saying it's the greatest thing or whatever. It's just the point is that it was an expression of collectively of the gene type of the people that lived in those areas, just like Chinese culture is Chinese culture because it's an expression of who those people are collectively as well, a genetic group. And the same thing with the Africans and the Arabs and so forth. And so that's what I'm saying about racial realism, is if nothing else that people would ever get out of anything I say is to realize that. Now that, again, I'm not
so you're
saying
trying, when you're talking about this stuff, you're trying to convince people that there's a difference between the races, is what you're trying to say.
Yeah, races and culture, that races are associated with culture. That culture is not a social construct. Culture
how
is...
How much success have you had in your in your day-to-day life, like offline, how much success have you had getting people to realize or to agree with you generally?
Well, you know what?
I've had almost none. I've had almost none, Jubs. Almost none. I've had...
hopefully I didn't interrupt you, John. My apologies. But, for example, people are afraid is what I'm going to tell you, because I was, I don't know if you have what Walmart is. I don't know if you guys have
Chubbs. Chubbs.
Yeah.
You've had, I think me and John would like to have a little after show and chat about a few things.
Can I just finish saying one thing I wanted to say to John, and I'm probably going to go to bed anyways. So, but anyways, what I wanted to say, John, was about people being scared is that I was at Walmart, whatever, one of these places. And it was after work, and I went and grabbed a few groceries, and I'm standing in line, and there's a white woman behind me, and the cashier was white, and I was really tired, whatever, and I'm standing there, and I looked around in Walmart, and it's like I didn't see a single fucking white person, for example, and I'm like, I didn't mean to. I was thinking it in my head, and I guess I said it out loud. I was like, am I still in fucking Canada? Right? And I didn't realize I said it, and I was like, I kind of looked around. I'm like, shit, did I just say that? Right? Because even me, I'm jelly. I'm going to say something like that in public. And so I get up to the cashier, and the woman behind me, like I said, she was white. And so she's behind me and the cashier. They're both like, yeah, I know, yeah, blah, blah. And and they're whispering that to me, and it's like, I know they're thinking exactly the same fucking thing that I'm thinking, but I said it out loud, but they would never say it, right? Because they're too fucking scared. You know what I mean? So this is how it is. Yeah, and it's, anyways, I'm going to shut the fuck up, but I don't know. I don't know if you get what I mean, John.
Thank
it's
you,
like,
Chad.
I get what you're coming from, man. Like, I just think, and please don't take this the wrong way, I think a lot of what you're saying here is just really, I don't want to say venting, but you're just sharing your own frustration with the world. But I'm not really sure it's going to achieve the end results that maybe you want to believe that it will. And so if you're stating things that people already know and it's kind of like negative and there's nothing new being brought and it's on topics that are already controversial, like I'm just not really sure you're going to achieve as much as maybe you would like to achieve. And I don't mean that as a criticism of you as an individual. I just mean generally speaking, you know, like you and I could just sit here all day and talk about how our countries are being taken over. You and I both know that. But if we're not even bringing basic statistics to prove our point, then we're really just sitting complaining. You know what I mean? And that, I think that gets old.
It does. It does. But you know, I will say this about myself. I don't just complain when I'm at work, wherever, anywhere I am. And this doesn't earn me any friends generally. I think I've even alienated my family probably, because when it comes to what my opinion of the Jews is, what my opinion about the race thing is, I would just fucking tell everybody that I know, right? And
I'm
so
it
doesn't earn me friends generally.
No, I'm not saying that you shouldn't talk about it. I just mean like you can make a point and then move on. Or if it's just talking,
I do.
I do.
Don't worry. I don't. When I do make a point, when generally it rubs somebody the wrong way, then generally they're not going to talk to me anyways. And the people that listen to me and they'll still talk to me, well, then, you know, I got, to me, I got kind of an inroad, right? Like, then I can continue the conversation. Otherwise, usually people just say, either they'll look at you as, let's say, if you bring up the Jewish thing, you're anti-Semitic. If you bring up the race thing, you're a racist. And so generally, once you hit those two barriers, people are done with you anyways, right? Basically. So anyways, but yeah, you and Rollo can have a chat, whatever.
Thanks, Chubbs. Really appreciate you.
Yeah. All right.
Here we go.
Well, it was nice talking to you guys.
Here we go.
I'm a motherfucker. I don't want to see him again. Take care, guys.
You blew up your towers to justify war. Oh, I don't really care what your arms are for. More money on defense. Fuck hospitals. Fuck human beings. Fuck humanity. 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 The country I was born in, sold to your motherfuckers. You patrol both sides of the border. Oh, I don't wanna listen to your order. New world order, new world order. Haven't got anything to lose. 40 years old, have taken news in my hand.
Well, here we are with John LeBond.
I don't want it, no, I don't.
Thank you, Jono. Thank you for joining us, brother. And well, you've caused some controversy today, my friend.
It seems that way. You're referring to our old buddy Unreal.
How could I not be? So what have you got to say about that?
Yeah, pretty unfortunate, I think, with Unreal. But, you know, he's entitled to his opinions, and he's got his own areas that he thinks are worth researching, and I have no negative sentiments towards him. So what more can I say?
Should we go through it? During the audio in question, there's a lot of copy here that you've written. You guys have written a lot of copy here. Unreal is, well, I think he's into flat Earth, but he's tech. He's into the EGI thing. Have you explicitly said where you are on EGI and a thing to?
Are you asking if I am on board with the EGI agenda?
Yeah.
No, not the way that Unreal is. But I mean, like, it doesn't bother me if Unreal and Ab think that this is the topic that's worthy of as much attention as I want to give it. I say go for it. Like, I don't have any personal issues with it. But to me, there's an awful lot of obvious nonsense going on with all of that. But you know, well, whatever. You know, I guess if Unreal is a believer in flat Earth and he thinks that that flat Earth thing is legitimate still after a couple of years and all the evidence has come to light, if he still believes in flat Earth and thinks that that's legitimate, then I guess it's not really so much of a surprise that he would also be believing that EGI is real and legitimate, and he's fully entitled to do that.
I would think it is.
I don't go to the EGI thread and then say, oh, this is crazy, this is stupid, whatever. I'd completely ignore it. You know what I mean? It's not worth my time. It's silly. It's to me personally.
47 on a Saturday night. I don't have to go anywhere soon. You. I'll try and see if I can get Unreal here, and I wasn't sure where Chubbs was going with a lot of what he was saying there. And
well, unfortunately, Chubbs was rambling. Like I I don't know Chubbs, but from what I've heard of him, he seems like a likable guy. I'm sure he's the kind of guy who, if I was near him, we could hang out, have a coffee and get along fine. But I think when he's in these audio chats, really what he's doing is just rehashing stuff that most of us already know. And it's not really, it's not particularly entertaining radio. And it's also no new facts or evidence. I personally find it a little bit boring, to be perfectly honest. And so I was trying to ask him questions, like, to get him to focus on, like, okay, so when you talk about this, what does it achieve? And within 10 seconds of him starting to answer, he'd just go back into the same, well, this is what's happened. Like,
after the Sunday sessions that we did after your, those beautiful, all the time that you, Ethan, and Lindsay put it, and like you said, I don't want to be in the same boat. But back in the day, I loved coming in to listen to me and Del have a quiet chat the other day.
No, I haven't listened to that one yet. Was it good? How is Del, by the way?
Yeah, fantastic.
Yeah. Is he?
So me and Del Quar had a chat on Outside Radio.
What were the main topics?
You.
Oh, really? Oh, I'm definitely listening then. I might go and listen right now.
No, we had a he thinks you're cocky. He thinks you're too cocky.
A lot of people do. Like, this is a common criticism that's directed at me, is that I'm either arrogant or cocky.
Yeah,
not so much cocky, but arrogant is the main one that people use.
I'll cue it up. But if you're going to hang around, I'll try and get up here and unreal. He says you're cocky.
Yeah, well, that's fair enough. He's allowed to. Like, that doesn't bother me that people say that. They're fully entitled to feel that way. I can see why they do. Like, when I start talking about a topic that I've researched, I'm very confident in what I'm saying. And to a lot of people, simply being confident in yourself comes across to them as being cocky. You know what I mean? Or this idea of, if someone attacks me, saying, okay, then let's discuss that. You know what I mean? Come here, let's talk about it right now. This doesn't have to be a big deal. Let's have a chat. Oh, that's cocky. You know what I mean? Like, even just unreal. I'm like, well, come on, unreal. Let's have a chat. You know, or MQT, let's have a chat. To a lot of people, having enough confidence to stand here and just talk about these things, that's cocky. So it's like, depending on how people see the word cocky or the concept, I can see why they would accuse me of that, because I am confident in what I say. So I don't try and change their mind. If someone says, oh, he's cocky, I'm like, well, that, depending on what that word means to you, you're probably right.
It's more than that. It's people that, are keyboard warriors. People, you're cocky because you've got the gumption, if that's a word that you understand, the balls to get on the mic. And in a way, well, that first show you did, people wouldn't come and debate you because they're frightened of you. That first cosmology show you did. I'm sure they're frightened of you.
Oh, yeah, maybe not so much frightened, more perhaps...
Yeah, frightened of your logic.
I think maybe there's this idea that when people sort of see that, I'll let people come on and I'll give them a few minutes to air what they have to say, and maybe people have seen how many times when I do this, people sort of, they tie themselves up in knots very quickly. Like, people come on, they think they're going to argue with me, and then before long they realize they haven't actually got a point to argue. Maybe, I mean, I'm fortunate that I have formally studied logic, you know what I mean, and I've practiced it a lot. I'm no smarter than anyone, but
Why did you never get taught that at basic school? Like, in
why don't we? Yeah, exactly. Exactly, because maybe if people were taught logic at school, we'd all be more confident in our positions because we'd all know our own logical position and we'd all identify each other's fallacies. So what will happen is someone will come onto my show. I'll say, okay, you can make any criticisms of my position that you like. The floor is yours. Well, all they've got is, well, I don't like you. You don't make me feel good, right? And then I can point this out. And so to a live audience listening, they can see, wow, he's actually right. These people have no logical point. They don't want to find themselves in the same position. Whereas if they had been taught logic, they wouldn't be coming onto my show trying to make logical fallacies against me. They would have logical arguments to offer me, and you see it would be a more fair contest. But it's not fair. If I know logic and you have not studied logic, it's not a fair contest. I'm going to beat you every time, you see. And so I don't blame people for not wanting to come onto my show or into an audio chat and air their criticisms of me live, because they know what's going to happen. I'll say, well, that's a logical fallacy. Here's why. You failed to provide evidence. Here's why. You know what I mean? Like, they know what's going to happen. So why would they want to come on and have a chat? It's much easier just to leave a written comment, you see. Just leave a written comment, they can leave. Because if it's live, it's like, okay, what you just said, let me repeat it back to you. Now let me point out the logical fallacy. Well, they know how embarrassing that's going to be for them.
I found it. Okay, so let's just have a listen to the... You listen to this and tell me what you think. You're right. Let's have a listen.
Yeah, yeah. But I'm not drunk, so yeah.
But yeah, yeah, part of the furniture. I like the way you say that. That I'm part of the furniture. Yeah.
You go back to the beginning of Ecologist, right? And Ab never put hang out. If I had a penny for every time I heard you say, I will probably cut this out, mate, but we'll continue on.
He never did. He never did.
The very fact that I'm able to say that to you is that I didn't cut out you because it was all out on Fakeologist, so they're all empty.
You're right.
I heard them all. And yeah. You know, all of a sudden...
That should give people confidence.
Yeah.
If they're nervous about coming to Fakeologist.com, to talk on the audio chat, but you be sure about what you're saying, because if you say something, it's not going to get cut. It'll all get played. Ab doesn't cut.
Hey. Yeah,
exactly.
Doesn't do any editing. It's just straight out. Yeah.
Well,
hey. So anyone who disgusted from, you know, Norwich, I have a disdain for, Rollo and Typo or being drunk and blah, blah, blah. No, where's your fucking audio chat appearance? Stop being an ass, right?
Yeah.
And then the only one who's in is, and you keep, you know, promoting him or whatever, John Le Bon, he's going, yeah, blah, 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 right? Well, he'll always give you, you know, a logical, you know, explanation for everything. But I'll give you a fucking, a reality explanation is that Rollo and Typo are part of Fakeologist, and they always have been. And they've been there long before any Johnny Le Bons or Johnny Come Latelys. And put that.
So you got an issue with him too, because my wife doesn't like him.
Well,
you've got an issue with him. What's your issue with him? Do you think he's too young, or because he's got a paywall on his site? What's your problem with him? Well, I like the guy.
Which do you want to talk about, man? It's not because he's too young. Oh, fucking hell, man.
That's right.
He's too bloody cocky for starters. He's a nice guy. And then all of a sudden he goes into, you know, calling everybody retards as well. That's not good. Yeah, I've got children that are fucking older than him, right? He's a very intelligent guy. He's got that thing going, but at the same time, here's one for you. If you're a pilot of a...
All right, there we go. You're too cocky.
Yeah, well, that's fair enough. I mean, I think he explained his position there. He's saying that he knows that I'm logical, but he doesn't like me because I'm too confident in my position. Like, that seems understandable. A lot of people feel the same way that he does. You'd be amazed. You would be amazed.
And, well, you obviously, with the half an hour chat you did the other night, you've obviously got unreal writing sense. What are your thoughts on today that you want to talk about?
I just came in for a chat, and then
I like
it. Was on one of his rambles. You know what I mean? And then you booted him unceremoniously, and just said you wanted to chat. I'm happy to chat. You know what I mean? Like I'm also happy just to sit here with my microphone on mute if other people are chatting.
Oh, hey, a Fakeologist is here. Come on, Ab.
Come on, come on.
There he is.
John, hi. Rolo, hi.
As well. So we've got John LeBon, Callahan, and Fakeologist. What is it? It's the 11th today, it's here 11th. In Australia. Yeah. Yep. So what a day. What a number. Yeah, Callahan.
Yeah, I didn't mean to interrupt. I just thought you guys were casually chatting, and I wanted to come in and say, John.
That's fine.
Yeah. I've listened to John LeBon for years, and I've always thought he was great. And so I wanted to come in and just say thank you, John LeBon, for everything you've done.
Is this the first time that we've chatted, O'Hallahan?
Yeah.
I've listened to you as well a lot, actually, on the audio chats, and I've done my impersonation of you a couple of times, but generally I love listening to you. You've got a great radio voice, and apparently you're the one to thank for this Discord thing, so good on you for that, because it's really livened up the place, if you ask me.
Yeah, you know, it really worked. Like, everyone is, you know, I mean, is there 100 people in this, in this thing yet? Looks like you're getting close, you know, 30, 40 people. So I'm glad it worked, you know. I was just casually chatting with Ab one day, and, you know, I just mentioned it, you know, that I was trying to switch everyone over to, Discord, because I didn't like Skype. And Skype is a Microsoft product. I'm always in Linux, and it you know, the functionality is nearly the same. We can't do video, but other than that, the functionality is pretty much the same. So, but yeah, John, I've listened to your listened to your podcast, and I've watched your videos for years, and I just never got a chance to hop in and say thank you. And so I just want to correct. Yeah, I want to correct
that oversight.
You're more than
welcome. Thank you. That is very kind of you to say that. I appreciate that. I know that you've been podcasting for quite a while, actually. And
I did like 12 of them, and then I stopped. You know, I just didn't think I had anything to add. I thought your podcasts were much better than mine, and I stopped podcasting right around the time where I hit Flat Earth, and I didn't know what to say after Flat Earth. I hit Flat Earth. And this is back in 2014. It was about a year before it got really hot. And, I started talking about it on one of my podcasts, and I just felt like I got into an area where I didn't know what I was talking about. You know, I mean, it was exciting to me, and it was fun to talk about, but I thought it was more like science fiction. I didn't know where to go with it. And then it was Mark Sargent and Eric Dubay that really took off with it. I had found the Wild Heretic site that Lord Stephen Christ, you know, he was doing that, but he was, you know, for as wacky as that guy is, he was bringing up questions that I couldn't answer. And so I started talking about it on my podcast, but I didn't think that I had anything to add. And quite frankly, that's when, like, you and Eric and Mark hit the scene, and I thought you guys were a lot more insightful than me, so I stopped. You know, the last one I did was my computer one. I thought I had one last thing to add, so I did a 2-hour computer podcast. But other than that, I just come on and talk to Ab. So I have more questions than I have answers, so I stopped doing a podcast. But, you know, John, I always wanted to ask you, and I never got a chance until just now, and that is your opinion on Flat Earth. And the reason that I want to ask you is because for a while you were pro-Flat Earth, and I was listening to all your videos, and then you kind of changed course. And I want to know why you did that and what you think about it now.
Well, basically, if you go back and listen to the first ever episode of Baller Skeptic Roundtable, the first one, you'll hear me speaking with a guy called D. Murphy. D. Murphy 25, Dave Murphy, the handsome black British gentleman who was even on Hungarian TV, I think. And in that episode, he was trying to claim that there were no flights between Africa and Australia. And I said, and this is all live on the air, and I said, well, actually, there are flights, and I know that because I flew from Johannesburg to Perth. And he said to me, this was all live on the air on my own channel. He said to me, well, I think you might be mistaken. And I'm like, no, I don't think I'm mistaken. I'm pretty sure I flew that exact flight. on the way back from Africa 2010. Pretty sure I did. And so let's just wait for Ab here.
Yeah.
And so the reason why I tell that story, and I've told it a few times, and I'll probably keep telling it until time immemorial, because people will keep saying, weren't you pushing flat earth? On the contrary, I was doing the opposite. I was pointing out the problems with flat earth right from the first episode and throughout the series. And I've even made about 30 videos now, about 30 or 35 videos. There's a playlist on my channel debunking flat earth arguments, one after another, after another, after another. And I think one way or another, a lot of people were under the impression that I was pro-flat earth, even though I was, in my mind, clearly showing the problems with flat earth. And I think it just shows how naive I was at the time. I still didn't quite understand this idea of like our own subjective interpretations of what people are saying and how we project what we want onto other people. So if I'm listening to someone who I want to believe shares my sentiments on something, I might start to hear them sharing my sentiments even when they're not. Like, it's a very subjective thing. And I think what happened back then without me realizing it was that a lot of people were hearing me say things that I wasn't saying, and that if they were to go back and listen to those episodes now, they would realize, oh, he actually wasn't, like, how come he seemed like, and it's like, well, that perception, that was the perception of the listener, because what I said is recorded there for posterity. So it wasn't like I was ever pro flat earth and then I suddenly changed. The videos and the podcasts all speak for themselves. I was pointing out the problems of flat earth right from the start.
Interesting. I have never heard you say that. And I just bookmarked your YouTube channel and I'll start going through it. I didn't know that you had done that. And that is amazing. Because that was one of the big things that Mark Sargent talked about, was that there were no flights from Australia no direct flights. And here you are saying, I was on a flight. There are flights like that. I did go from, I mean, John, I'm going to ask you an elementary question. I'm sure you've been asked this about 1,000 times, but the time and the speed worked out for you?
Well, the speed, I have no idea, because I'm just sitting there as a passenger, and the flight departed at night. Because what happened was, I flew from Australia. When I first went to Africa, I went Melbourne to Changi Airport, Singapore, to London. Then after a week in London, I went down to Johannesburg, so London to Joburg. It was on the way back that I flew from Joburg to Perth, Perth being on our west coast, and then from Perth on to Melbourne. So the flight that I took from Joburg to Perth was a nighttime flight. So I wasn't even awake to tell you if we were going overland or anything like that. But I do know for certain that you can jump on a plane in Johannesburg, and the next place that you get to is going to be Australia. But at the time, back then, they were claiming that that was not the case. They were either implying it was not the case, or they were saying overtly, like each of these flat earthers has had their own shtick. Some of their shtick was to be like, well, maybe the flights don't exist, you know. But some of them were overtly saying the flights don't exist. One of them being my mate, D. Murphy, 25, on the first ever episode of Baller Skeptic Roundtable, who was trying to tell me the flights didn't exist, and I was saying, well, they do. But the speed of the flight, I don't know. And its general direction, I don't know. But the flight itself does exist.
Yep. Did the time work out?
Oh, the time worked out, yeah, for sure, because I had to catch a connecting flight. So we landed in Perth and then straight from Perth onto a flight to Melbourne, because Melbourne is on the east coast of Australia. So it's like another 5 hours from Perth to Melbourne. People don't realize how big Australia is. It's a freaking huge country, man. So yeah. I caught my connecting flight, no problems whatsoever. The time definitely worked out, absolutely.
Yep. I mean, in the time of the flight in relation to the distance, like, that made sense to you? You know,
yeah, absolutely. And I've still got the itinerary to this day, and the flight time of that flight makes perfect sense on a ball model. It does not make sense on any of the flat earth so-called maps. It simply does not, which is why they will deny the flights. They deny the flights for a long time. Then when they could deny the flights no longer, then it became a case of, well, maybe that they're taking super fast jets. Then when it was pointed out that on any of the maps, so-called maps they've put forward so far, the jets would still have to be going above the speed of sound. And then they started coming out with, oh, well, maybe there's portals, or maybe there's a jet stream up there. You see what I mean? Like, they've been changing their story. And they know full well that most people today have incredibly poor memories and incredibly poor attention spans. So they can change their story and get away with it, which is exactly what they've done. And they will continue to do it. They will continue to do this, and they will continue to get away with it.
John, I have two questions that I've got to follow up questions for that. The first question is, how do you square that with the fact that we can see too far?
Well, I'm not so sure that we can see too far. Like, I don't accept that we can see too far. And let me tell you why. Like, directly, our sight is dependent on light. Now, light can bend. I know that it can bend. Do you know it can bend? We all know that light can bend. So even if we could see objects, you've never seen light bend before.
No.
You've never been like on a long road and sort of seen up in the distance what looks like water or the clouds, but in fact it was just the sky that was bending from the sky through the air and above the road to your eyes. You've never seen that?
Are you referring to rainbows?
No. Like, suppose you're driving on a long road, and up in the distance, above the black asphalt, you'll see what looks like water, or what looks like the sky. But as you get closer, there's no water, and there's no sky. That was simply the light bending. You've never experienced that phenomenon before?
Yes. It's sort of like a mirage, you're seeing like water in the distance, like a mirage, but we both know that it's not water. And you're saying that's an example of bending light?
That's an example of light bending. Or another one that I can give you is, suppose you're in shallow water and there are fish swimming amongst your feet. If you were to try to stab the fish, you would have to actually stab away from where the fish appears to be, because the fish is not where it appears to your eyes to be. And that is, again, because of light bending. Light bending as it goes from a medium of one density to another. Like, this is a property of light that, like, if somebody says they don't believe in it or they're not familiar with it, that's totally cool. But those of us who are familiar with it, we say, yeah, we know that light can bend. And once we accept that light can bend, or that we can perceive it to bend, then all of a sudden, even if we think we can see things that are too far away, like on basic mathematical calculations on a ball, it could simply be that the light is bending around the ball. It could be. We don't know. So it
John, that becomes that a very conclusive. Fascinating. That is an amazing deduction and logic. Good for you. I never thought about it that way before, but I'm so used to now we're like 3 years flat earth discussing, the equation of, what is it? 2 meters per, what is it? 2 inches per mile squared as the mathematical constant that is supposed to be the globe with the dimensions they've given us.
Well, they say 8 inches per mile squared, and over very short distances, that is actually very accurate. Like, if you sit down and do the basic geometry, it actually does work out. And I did an entire video series, and this is when I started to realize that these people were all jokers, the people pushing flat earth and the believers. I sat down and did a 4-part video series showing the mathematics involved, and I had to go back and learn high school mathematics, like stuff that I forgot a long time ago. I had to go back and sit down and relearn all of it, to put together this video series showing how and when the 8 inches per mile squared formula works. And it does in very limited cases, but not the way that it's being used and pushed by these clown charlatans on YouTube. And so it was when I was doing this, like the actual background research, doing it myself, and then realizing that none of the rest of these people gave a stuff. Like, there were times when they would make a video using the formula the wrong way. And I would leave a comment saying, hey mate, good effort putting together the video, but you have to understand that the formula you've used there is that you're actually misusing it. Rather than come back and say, thank you for correcting me, I better go and fix that up, they'd attack me. And that's when I started to realize, we're dealing with clowns here.
I have found that to be curious at best and really disconcerting at worst. The way that they attack each other, even when Eric Dubay would attack a couple of years ago, he would go on this rant about how Mark Sargent was a shill and all that. And I had never used the word shill in that kind of context in my life, all of a sudden, if your opinion wasn't exactly like this guy's, you were a bad guy, and I thought that was a really weird thing, for someone who was proposing such a dramatic shift in a, in a standard paradigm, you know, that if you don't think like me, you're stupid. You know what I mean? Like, how could we possibly think like you? It's a new idea. I don't know. But that did turn me off too. And they began attacking you. And, I remember saying, on one of my podcasts, what's wrong with John Levon? You know, I didn't see anything wrong with John. I mean, he's got a different opinion, you know, I mean, you know, I, so f- as far as I know, none of us have looked at it. I mean, I mean, we've got the fisheye lens on the balloon spinning around that shows a flat horizon. You know, are there any problems that you have with the standard globe model?
If by standard globe model you mean as in the prevailing cosmology of heliocentrism, where we are literally on a ball spinning around the sun, then yeah, yeah. I definitely have a whole bunch of problems with that. I definitely do not believe that we are living on a giant spinning ball going around the sun. To me, no.
What's your thinking?
Insane. Once you actually get your head around it, that I used to believe that it's like, oh my God, that's how far this goes. They actually had me fully convinced that I lived on a ball going around the sun. It's very funny to me looking back now.
I was always a big sci-fi fan. So Captain Kirk had me, flying around. You know, what's your thinking? Like if it's not the standard globe model that we learned in high school, and it's not the flat plane idea that Mark and Eric are talking about, then what is it?
Well, I don't know. I don't know what the Earth is, but what I have done is come up with a model. And I think there's this big problem that we have that most people, at least in my country, I think probably in America as well, the whole Western world, people don't understand this conceptual idea that the map is not the terrain. And so they can't differentiate in their mind between a model and between literal reality. So if I say to you that I've got a map of Queensland, it's a piece of paper, and you can use this to accurately navigate from Brisbane to Toowoomba up to Winton where the fake dinosaurs are, even if that map is 100% accurate, it's only a map. The map is not the terrain. And so it is with the model. So I've come up with a model that I think fits with our empirical observations. That is what we can actually see and touch for ourselves. It's a model that's based on empiricism and logic, but it's just a model. So even if it's completely accurate, which I think it is, it's just a model. It doesn't, and my model is basically like a stationary ball, right? Even if that's the best model, it doesn't mean we live on a stationary ball. We live on Earth. Mm. The best model, I think, is a stationary ball. Unless you believe in gravity, like an actual force that attracts physical things, then you might start speculating about heliocentrism. You might, but even then you don't have to. But my model, I think, is a lot more simple. You don't need to believe in spin. You don't need to believe in gravity. You definitely don't need to deny the sky like the flat earthers do. You don't need to deny flight or deny the stars. It's just, hey, we see spherical rotation of the lights in the sky. It doesn't matter if those lights are balls of gas or if they're just lights. They do move spherically. And the direction they move in appears to – the way that we perceive their movement appears to be based on where we are on the Earth. How can we model that? How can we model the flights? How can we do that if we don't actually sense any spin? Well, maybe we're not spinning. Maybe it is the heavens that are spinning. If you factor all of this in, I think you come up with a stationary ball or something like that. But it's just a model. That's just a model. What do we actually live on, in my opinion? Earth. The best model for that is a ball, a stationary ball. But that's just a model. Do you see what I'm trying to say? Do you get where I'm coming from with that?
Sure. You know, I mean, your observations and thoughts are just as valid as anyone else. I've gotten, you know, I'm still watching Eric Dubé every week. You know, he usually puts out a video once a week, and I'm still hooked on that. A couple of years ago, I also, this is another thing that stopped me from podcasting was, one of the guys at Mammy's, and I think it was Mammy himself, he had posted, the Holographic Universe Workshop. And that really sent me spinning. I got the author's book, I think it was Stephen Davis, if I'm remembering his name correctly, Stephen Davis. And I even emailed him back and forth a couple times. I was fascinated by that, where he had, a whole shop built around the thoughts of, quantum physicists, And they seem to be confirming that we're actually living in a simulation. That was when I threw my hands up. I'm like, I'm not qualified to put out a podcast. I just don't know. I've got way too many questions and I just don't know. I enjoy your logical deduction. I mean, that is, I'd never heard anyone say that before. We're living on a stationary ball. And the reason that we can seem to see too far is because light bends.
Well, that's if we could see too far. It could just as easily be the case that on some days we can't see far enough, but still we have this issue where we're talking about light. So how much weight can we put on the light? Do you see what I'm trying to say? Like even if I went out and made observations across a bay that perfectly fit with the mathematics of a ball, I still would not use that as evidence for the ball because we could be on a flat plane where the light is bending upwards to make it look like we're on. You see what I'm trying to say? So to me, the light over long distances, no matter what it seems to look like, doesn't actually tell us about the shape of the Earth. But there are some people who try and use long distance observations as proof in their minds of flat Earth. There are others who try and use it as proof of a ball Earth. And I say, well, depending on the day and the conditions, who knows what you're going to see? Light bends over those distances. It's not evidence. I don't need to use that as evidence for my model. And I don't think it's valid evidence, no matter what model you're trying to put forward, in my opinion.
That's interesting. One of the things that really struck me was when Mark Sargent was interviewing a Navy missile tech. He was just a regular enlisted guy, and he was a Navy missile tech. And Mark had brought up the fact that Jaren from Jarenism was trying to get this crowdfunding going so that he could set up a laser, right? And to see if the water was flat over a lake that was nearby him. And this guy started laughing and he says, we do, targeting over 150 miles with laser targeting. And that's, that's where my, no, wow, that's amazing. But you are actually refuting that. What you're saying is that the laser itself is light, and it's susceptible to the medium that we live in, which is air, and it's.
Well, I'll take a step back even further from that and ask you why you would believe any of the stories from Mark Sargent or his guests from the military. Let's not forget that Mark Sargent still to this day claims that nuclear bombs are real and that intercontinental ballistic missiles or similar are real because nukes were fired into the dome as part of Operation Fishbowl or whatever nonsense he's pushing. And then you think about it, well, hold on a second. So Mark Sargent was speaking to people who were still actively serving in the Navy and they were using their voices. Like if you think through this logically, you might start to find yourself wondering why you would believe any of what Mark Sargent was telling us. And that's without even considering the fact that no one had heard the name Mark Sargent, this guy who had looked into every conspiracy. I read every conspiracy on the bookshelf. Do you remember how he used to do all those interviews? And he used to have the exact same answers for every, he did like 50 interviews straight saying the exact same things. You know, I used to be a real conspiracy buff. I read every conspiracy on the bookshelf. There was just one book that I wouldn't read. And that was Flat Earth. But then one day I decided to look into it and hop damn if I couldn't debunk. It's the same bullshit story that he was giving every time. I don't think you need to think too far through this one to find yourself asking why you would give this guy credit, like why you would just take him or his guest stories on face value. These long distance lasers. I mean, O'Hallahan, you've questioned military technology yourself in the past. Like surely you've questioned things like rail guns and all this fangle-dangle technology that we're told about. I'm sure you've questioned this. Well, Mark Sargent's guests were pushing the fangle-dangle technology. You know what I mean? They weren't just pushing flat Earth. They were pushing other stuff as well.
It had to have been 10 years ago, I was telling people that we never went to the moon. And now that has become, pretty much mainstream. I mean, the last episode of Fargo, they had a, outing of fake NASA moon landings written right into the script. I mean, I was shocked when I saw it. 10 years ago, I was arguing. And it wasn't until it was Foon on Mammies who said to me, "There's no such thing as nuclear power." And for as much conspiracy as I had gone through, I giggled at him. I actually giggled at him. Like, you are you trying to tell me that there's what about the nuclear power plants, Foon? You know, what about the nuclear bombs? And he's like, it's all fake. So I started looking into it, and that's how I found out about that. But that's fairly recent. That was in the past three years. So I, you know, when it comes to taking people at their word, that's the way I take, when someone tells me something, I take the Bruce Lee stance. You know, I take what I can use, and if I can't use it, I just leave it for the day. You know, if someone tells me something, I believe it until they give me reason to not believe it. You know, I don't know. I mean, also I give guys like Eric Dubé and Mark Sargent a lot of leeway. And the reason is that they're not professionals. You know, when you're talking about Mark Sargent, he's just really he's a really smart guy, but he's a gamer, you know. And when you're talking about Eric Dubé, you know, he's another really smart guy, but he's just a yoga teacher. You know what I mean? Like, these guys aren't astrophysicists or quantum physicists or, you know what I mean? Like, they're just regular guys that are smart, that are just, it seems to me that they're just, you know, giving their opinions. So I don't necessarily believe or disbelieve. I just take it all in, and I work with what I can make sense of, you know. My degree is not in the sciences. My strong suit is not in mathematics. I have a degree in psychology and philosophy. I studied the humanities at the university. So when you start talking science to me, I got to sit down and, you know, just listen. You know, even the simple, you know, ball geometry that Eric came up with the 8 inches per mile squared, you know, I don't even remember learning that in high school. So
can you tell me, with your philosophy studies, how much time did you have to spend studying logic?
I took one semester of it.
Was that right at the start of the course? Was it like a 101 course?
Yeah. Yeah,
because I took philosophy at university as well, and they taught logic in the first semester. And looking back through all of the university that I did, I still think that was some of the most useful stuff I was ever taught in any capacity by any institution at any stage of my life. Right?
I'm dubious with logic, John. I'm very dubious with logic. I've listened to people turn logic upside down. There's a problem with logic. And the problem is that if you're going to put together a syllogism and to prove something out logically, you've got to make sure that every component of A and B are correct. And that's the problem with logic. I don't know about you. I mean, I don't know you other than what I've heard. And what I've heard, you're a really nice guy and you're really a smart guy. That's all I know about John LeBron.
Really? What I've heard is that I'm too arrogant and too cocky. But just going back to what you said about logic, the problem with logic is that you have to make sure that A and B are correct. If we just look at logic, not as stating that this is epistemologically the truth, that what you can prove logically is objectively, epistemologically, existentially the truth. If we just look at it as a basic way to inspect each other's arguments, once we understand logical fallacies like ad hominems or non sequiturs or straw mans, once we understand these basic logical fallacies, and if we agree that logic is useful, then all of a sudden we have a way to inspect what each other is saying. And I find that incredibly useful. So it's not about
I agree. I agree with you there. You know, I mean, I was just talking to someone just yesterday about it, the appeal to authority logical fallacy. In what he was trying to describe to me, he was making that error. And I agree that that's useful. It's useful for cleaning up your own thought process. But when it comes down to, like, you know, proving things out with logical debate, it doesn't work. I mean, people have spent their entire lives trying to prove whether A or B or both are correct. And just in a casual conversation, we cannot balance a syllogism. And that's the problem with it. Like, it has, it's a tool. You know what I mean? It's like a hammer. but you can't use a hammer to fix everything. You know, a hammer is very useful, but it's not going to fix everything, you know? So I don't know. But yeah, you're right about what you were saying about the logical fallacies. I agree with that.
But like, even when you say, you know, with a syllogism, like when you say that, you know, you have to get both A and B correct. Well, if you and I can agree on some basic things, for instance, if we can agree that light does bend, we might not be able to agree on that. And if we can't, then we're not going to be able to get much further. We can even at that point say, all right, well, we can't agree on this for today. Let's move on to another topic. We can still be a lot more efficient in our conversation. And I listen to a lot of people having back and forth and arguments, and it's like, well, it's quite clear that there's a foundational premise that these two do not agree on. So everything else that follows from that, they're going to disagree. We're wasting everyone's time here. If one of these two knew some basic logic, they could identify the foundational concept on which they disagree, and then they could move on and have an interesting conversation about something else. But instead, they're arguing back and forth on a central premise, which they haven't established. Yeah. See? Like, it makes things so much more efficient in conversation as well. Mm. And people are not taught this at school, and I think there's a reason we're not taught this at school. I think there's a very good reason we're not taught this at school. Look how much time people waste arguing about the most inane stuff, because they can't actually understand what each other's trying to say. They can't understand each other.
I agree with you, John. I think, and hi, Alan. I think that was the basic problem with the Jerrican and Chris Kendall debate. They just couldn't get past a basic disagreement, and it got really dirty and nasty, and it was not a great listen.
Yeah, well, when things get heated.
Sorry, I'll just be quick. I haven't listened to the second one yet, but in the first one, I listened to the first one and I listened to the call that Chris Kendall had afterwards, where he was talking about the problem where if Jerrianism won't work to basic logic, you can't have a conversation. Like, and I really like the way that Chris Kendall put it. He's like, there are some basic rules of logic, and if you don't want to follow them, that's fine, but we're not having a conversation anymore, are we? You know what I mean? And that's what I say. I say, I recently wrote a 20,000 word article about the Bonn-Earth model. It's very detailed. It's very well explained, in my opinion. I'm a bit biased, obviously, but I start off by explaining the logical fallacies that I'm going to be looking at when I expect other people's models within my framework. But I say before that in the preface, you don't have to accept logic. You have every right to reject logic and say that you're going to try and understand your reality in ways that are different to logic. Because you can't use logic to prove logic. This is meta-logic. This is this idea of, well, you can't just say that logic is true because of logic. It's circular, which within logic doesn't work, right? So if people want to attack logic and say, I'm not going to be logical, I don't accept logic, that, to me, that's totally cool. However, there's no point in you and I having a conversation about anything at this point. Whereas if we can both agree that logic is useful, now we've got a framework, now we can have a conversation. And it seemed to me like Chris was trying to stick to logic, whereas Jerrianism was doing his usual gish gallop nonsense, where he'd move from one thing to the next. And it works. It works with his flat earth followers and believers, because they don't understand the first thing about logic, which is exactly why they're getting sucked into Jerrianism in the first place. So I empathize with Chris Kendall. I haven't listened to the second one yet, Ab, but I do empathize with Chris from the first call, because one of them was trying to be logical, the other one, not so much.
Yeah. Well, as soon as the conversation begins, you know, I don't know. I mean, all of us are trying to find the truth in a world of bullshit, you know, and I, you know, applaud anyone that even tries, you know, like, but as soon as, you know, as soon as you start using vulgarity and you know, it breaks down into, you know, it breaks down into emotions, that's, you know, there is no point in having a discussion any further. But back to logic, John, my problem with logic is that when you say that, you know, let's say that you and I agree on point A and then you and I agree on point B, it still doesn't mean that A and B are correct. That's the problem with logic.
How is that a problem with logic? You know what I mean? Like you and I might both agree that light can bend, but we might both be incorrect about that. However, that's what I mean. Now that we've established this common understanding, we can move beyond that to further elucidate what we feel, like the way that we see the world, the way that we view it. Like what is truth to us, or what makes sense to us? Describe it however you want. By understanding what each other is saying and agreeing upon that premise and then moving on to conclusions, we can discuss the conclusions. So it's, you don't have to take logic as a method to find the objective truth, the epistemological, the real truth of the world that is separated from us. You don't have to look at it that way. You can simply look at it as a way to clean up your conversation with others and with yourself in your own mind. Why do I think that? Why do I think that? Well, I think that because he told me this, and then after he told me, this person told me. And then you think, but just because two people told you, that doesn't mean that it actually follows, does it? Oh, I guess not really. Like, you can start to look at the flaws in your own thinking. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, the number of uses, once you understand just the basic fallacies, even if you just understand logical fallacies, like even if that's as far as your research into logic goes, you're going to be so much further. And you know this because you've done it at university. I've done it at university. We know. But a lot of people out there, through no fault of their own, they'll have gone through school, they'll have gotten good marks, they'll have maybe even gone to college but not studied philosophy or not studied, say, law where they have to do some logic, or science where they're supposed to do a little bit of philosophy of science. They won't have been exposed to this idea of logic, or maths. They do some logic in maths as well, or computer science. There are fields in university where you might do some logic, but if you've never been exposed to any of this, how are you going to – how is the average person supposed to know what an ad hominem fallacy is, what a non sequitur is? How are they supposed to know? No one's teaching them.
Yeah, yeah. That's great. I look at logic as a tool and as a prerequisite to experimentation. That's the way I look at it. Like, it, you know, you and I come up with a logical argument, and then it's really it becomes incumbent upon us to prove out our A and B equals C. And that's where the real work comes in. And I mean, people have spent their entire lives trying to prove A, only to find out that A was wrong. But it's a tool like anything else. I mean, it gets you closer, and it cleans up your discussion with others. I agree with that. So, how do we get on to that?
I'm not sure, but I had to ask you something, because this is the first chance I've had to chat with you, and I listened to an audio chat that you had with, it might have been Tom Delpra, actually, a couple of months ago, because I listen to most audio chats, like even now that they've ramped up and there's lots of them, I still listen to most of them, and in full. You know, I might skip the parts where there's drunken rambling, but generally I just love hearing hearing what people have to say, right? And I heard you having a chat with Tom Delpra about your friend who you say has never told you a lie in his life, would never deceive you. Your friend who told you he went to Bohemian Grove and saw a lizard person. Can you quickly, because some people will listen to this who've never heard you speak about this before, can you quickly recount for us like what your friend saw, like in the bathroom in the toilet?
Yes, I can. Because I got to tell you, when he told me this, it shifted my thinking. And it's not easy to shift my thinking at this point. So my friend, and if I said who my friend was, you'd know him. You'd know who he was, right? And he put out a good podcast. It was a good interview show that he used to do, and it was funny. And he's a good guy. And I got to know him, you know. And the last thing that he was a bullshitter. You know, I'm 53 years old, and he's like 51. You know, he has no reason at all to lie. Especially to me, you know, I mean, especially with this topic. I mean, and this story is too fantastic. You know, because the reason he told me was because he said, you're one of the very few that would listen to me without laughing at me. But what I'm about to tell you is the truth. This is what he said to me. And he said to me, the way the conversation came up was we were talking about David Icke. And I said, I like David Icke, but as soon as he gets to the lizard man stuff, I don't know what to make of that. You know, like after Flat Earth and Holographic Universe Workshop, you know, I stop saying I disbelieve, right? I take the Bruce Lee stance, you know. I mean, you know, I take what I can use and I just leave the rest for another day. I don't tell people that I just don't disbelieve anything anymore. He says to me, I've got I got a lizard man story for you. And I said, whoa, you have a lizard man story? And he's like, I got a lizard man story. And I said, dude, I want you to go through it very slowly. And I want you to tell me step by step what happened. Tell me the story, right? And he says, this is what happened. I got invited to Bohemian Grove. This is his words. And I said, okay, right? You've seen Alex Jones's Bohemian Grove thing. What do you think of it? And he says, that was nonsense. And I said, tell me, what is it really like? And he says, I can only paraphrase. He said to me something like, at the Bohemian Grove, there are different groups inside the Bohemian Grove Club. And he told me that it was kind of like the artists group, and then there was the musicians group, and then there was the politicians group, and then there was like the scientists group, right? This is the way he described it to me. And I said, did they do the cremation of care? And he said, oh yeah, they did the cremation of care. And so tell me the story, right? I said to my friend, and he starts telling me. He says, I went to a dinner, right? And I'm sitting down at dinner, and I'm sitting down at the table that we're at. It's the guys that are in my bungalow, right? Like a small group of guys take a bungalow, and they live together in the woods, right, for some amount of time. And he says, the guy sitting next to me was a Rockefeller. And I said, do you know which Rockefeller it was? And he said, it wasn't a name that I would know. And he didn't feel comfortable telling me who it was. Right. And I said, you know, it's okay to continue with the story. And he said that I was making table conversation with him, and he seemed to be a nice guy. He was, but he was a Rockefeller. And, so then after the dinner, they retired to their bungalows and they went to sleep. And so my friend wakes up early in the morning, and, he says, I grab my shave kit and I start walking towards the door, and the door is ajar, right? The bathroom door, right? And, so not to be rude, I peek in to make sure that no one is on the ball. And, he says, when I peeked in, it was a white lizard man with a tail. And when I looked at it, it turned its head and looked at me. And I said, whoa, dude, stop. What did you do? And he says, I froze. And he says, in a second that it took me to process that image, it turned back into the Rockefeller. And I said, what did you do? And he says, I backed up. I didn't say a word. I looked down at my feet. I backed up, I turned around, and I went back to bed. And when the sun got a little higher, I got up, I put all my shit in my car, and I drove the fuck out of there. I never went back there again. And I said, dude, you've got to draw that. He's an artist. I said, you've got to draw that for me. I want to see it. I want to see it step by step in cartoon form, like a comic book, right? I want to see you stepping in there, and I want to see what you saw. And I want to see that thing transform in like a comic book, right? Will you please do that for me? And I asked him to do it about three, four months ago, and he has yet to do it. I said, dude, that no one is going to believe that story. And he said, that's why I told you. how did I become the black goo guy? I don't know. Why am I the one that believes the wacky stories? But, I said, dude, this is what you're telling me. You're not jerking me around. Like, this actually happened. And he says, look, you know, I don't yank people around with fake stories. And, the reason that I told you is because you weren't believing David Icke's lizard man story. What I told you scares me, right? And if you tell anyone, I don't want you to use my name, right? Because one of the things that I asked him was, I said, you got to do a podcast about this. You got to tell people. And he says, I'm not doing that. Right. I'm not going to talk about that on a podcast. And I said why, but I knew why, cause I could hear it in his voice. And he says, because I'm frightened at what I saw. Right. I saw it and it scared the hell out of me. And there may be some chance that if I said who it was and who I am, and he starts getting around this story of who I am and this guy was and exactly what I was doing, that they could find me. He doesn't live in the United States anymore, right? That's how freaked out he is, right?
Who is going to find and him?
What's that?
Who is going to find him?
You know, I don't know. You know, like maybe if he outs a Rockefeller as a lizard man, I don't know, but you know, but he's frightened. You could hear it in his voice when you're talking to him. It scared him, right? And he says, "Look, I got a family, you know, and I can't, you know, I can't talk about this thing." And dude, I don't know. I mean, first of all, I know my. And I know he wouldn't yank me around. And, his voice also had the ring of sincerity. He was sincerely frightened. That's the story.
I think you're echoing through Yossarian's mic.
Yeah.
Somebody should server mute Yossarian.
Yeah. But, yeah, so I mean, that's, I don't know what to make of that. You know, I'm a big fan of the movie They Live, right? And
I gotta watch that. I just is that the one where the guy had on the glass?
Live is a great film. How do we mute Yossarian? Can we do that this end, Ab?
Yeah, you just right click and click server mute because O'Hallahan's voice echoes through.
Okay, there we go. Done.
Yeah. If you want
Liv,
to talk,
where were you going, O'Hallahan, with that?
He can just send a text if he wants to talk.
Yeah. Well. Where I'm going with that is, I've taught the movie They Live. I have, for my university appreciation class where we look at movies and we, try and understand the deeper meanings of movies. And, one of my favorite go-to movies is They Live, you know, trying to figure out what is
Rowdy,
the message in They Live.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's a cracking film. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And, but what if,
Roddy Piper. He's a wrestler. Ab?
Well, oh, you mean who was it?
Russian vids icon, right?
Yeah.
One.
Yeah. Yeah.
Helen.
Yeah. My question is that what if the guy was trying to tell us something, you know, that was less metaphorical and more of like, this is the way it really is. Just can't see him.
I haven't seen it, but it's where you put the glasses on and you can see the
ghouls,
the
nightmare world that they built around us. You know,
who do we see though, Halloran? Who do we see in your world?
You know, white lizard men that walk like men that have tails. I don't know. You know,
John LeBron, is he still with us? Who does he?
Yeah, I was the one who asked the question. I wanted to get O'Hallahan to recount the story because I think a lot of people would have missed that audio chat with Tom Delpra. And I personally found that story fascinating because the way that you told the story the first time and this time as well, the way that you tell it is that you do believe your friend's account, that he actually did see what he thought was a lizard, was a Rockefeller turning into and or out of lizard form. Like it sounds like you believe your friend's account to be legitimate. Like you're open minded for the lizard people thing.
Yeah. I mean I've listened to a lot of David Icke is and we know that a lot of what David Icke is talking about is absolutely real. And then all of a sudden he gets into lizard men and he doesn't back off. You know, I just don't know. You know, I just don't know. But after Dave, I'm out, my friend. After my friend told me, after he told me that, it shifted the way I think. I mean, you know, I don't know. It's, you know, wacky stuff happens. You know, I mean, I had, a couple wacky episodes with my own son. You know, last month, my own son calls up my wife a month ago, and he says that I was, you know, he was scared. He says I was paralyzed, and as I was paralyzed at night, I was, you know, I had my eyes open and I couldn't move my body. He says he saw a ghost moving back and forth in the kitchen. You could see it as he looked down with his eyes. You know, and my son is not a bullshitter. You know, I mean, if my son was ever going to yank me around, he would let me in on the joke about 30 seconds after he told me the joke. He was dead serious. It scared the hell out of him. You know,
my favorite line in that movie, The Sixth Sense, is Haley Osment saying, "I see dead people." That was the creepiest line in the whole movie.
Yeah,
that's a different film. Let's just go back to what Helen was saying there. His son wouldn't jerk him around.
Yeah.
Okay, so something going on. Do you believe a higher power, like that's messing with us, or what?
The only conclusion is that this world is much, much stranger than we think it is. And when I say that to you guys are out there on the cutting edge of weirdness. You know, I'm talking to guys that don't believe in nuclear power. You know, I had Ab. You know, disbelieve the periodic table one day.
You know, I think nuclear power is weird. I think reality is really boring.
Power
is weird.
Yeah, we've heard this meme. We've heard this. Oh, I'm sorry, Evan, I'm cutting you off.
There's a lag going on. So you guys, you'll have to go.
Don't worry about the lag. It's amazing we can be synchronous when we're so far away on whatever shape of the Earth it is.
Yeah. What to make of these things? I don't know. I don't know. You know,
the imagination is very powerful.
Guys, you want to get weird? Yeah, I'm going to get weird with you. Here we're going to get weird. I know Ab hates this one.
I want to get loud.
You know, the thing that I've been looking into lately, there's a site on the web called Tricked by the Light. Right, and the author of the site, the webmaster of the site, is a guy named Wayne Bush. I just assume he's not, affiliated with the Bush family. But Wayne Bush, Tricked by the Light, and it's his theory that we're recycled back into this three-dimensional reality when we go into the light, when we voluntarily do it. Right, and that sounds pretty wacky.
You didn't want to come back. Do you ever? You said firmly that you don't want to come back.
I would never. If I had a choice, I would never come back to this place. I mean, I'm a very empathetic individual, and I'd
love to come back in 100 years and see what's changed. I don't know if I'd stay though.
Yeah,
I would like to come back.
You can have that.
Yeah,
you can have my place because I would never come back to a place where people are killing each other and enslaving each other.
I don't think they're doing that too much anymore. I want to know if 100 years of the Koreas will unite. I bet you they will.
I don't know.
There'll be no more borders anyway.
John LeBron's too young to want to come back. He's just doing it the first time, isn't he?
I've been explaining lately that I feel like I'm slowly but surely coming to a sense of peace with this world that we're in, because I know that if I live another 30 or 40 years, I will get to see the world in a state where they tell the children that back in those evil days of the turn of the century, people used to be monogamous. They were completely transsexual phobic. And that's what will be being taught, that, back in those days, people were so transphobic, they used to intentionally only date people of the same sex as them. Because that's exactly where we're headed. And as crazy as that sounds, and I can't change it, well, you know, this is not my fault. I should just be at peace.
The world and where you're seeing it's going? You're seeing it's going terribly.
It's quite obviously going that direction, Rollo. Like when you speak to people who are 60 or 70 years old.
It's up to us to stop it then. It's up to us.
Well, how are you going to do that?
Well, you better go start.
Me and you, and O'Halloran and Fakeologist.
Yeah.
Four of us.
We have to start going to the schools where the minds are being changed right now in the very young people.
We have to stop this. Yeah. I agree with John LeBron.
in kindergarten.
Hold on, don't agree with me, Rollo. I'm not saying that we should stop this or that we can stop this. I used to think that. I used to actually believe that, but I've been around long enough to realize, there's a bit more going on here than I thought. I see, you see. So I'm not fully at peace with it yet, but I'm feeling more tranquil. So if I was given the chance to come back, I think I'm with Ab. I'd love to see where it all ends up in 100 years. I might not want to stay there.
Well, let's all make a pact right now, and we'll all make a pact, and we'll come back together in 100 years. And we'll be here on this.
I love you. Guys, I love you like brothers. I'm not coming back here. This place is a disaster. I would never come back to this place. I'm sorry.
I can't wait to see how fast the computers are going to be. Come on. You got to come back. Are we using Linux or Windows?
I'll be your guardian angel when you guys come back, and I'll make sure to keep trouble away from you.
Oh, Helen, where else would you go? Where else is there other than this?
Yeah, I don't know. I do not know, but
don't you think there's lots of beauty in the world? Like you've got a son. I think you've got a couple of kids. Isn't it beautiful when they learn something and they tell a joke and it's actually a funny joke and they make you laugh? Like, aren't there beautiful things in the world that, for all of the problems in the world, there's still beauty? You know what I mean? Like, would you really want
to? John, that's why I don't want to come back here. You know, I mean, this beautiful, beautiful planet is being absolutely destroyed.
Sure, you're in the best place in the world. You know, I don't know South Korea very well. I know you have a lot of cars that Canadians are buying more than Canadian cars. But are you sure you're in the most positive country in the world? Because I worry for you, honestly.
You know why I'm here. You know, I'm here for two.
It's not the only country in the world.
Yeah, I mean, I have a job. I have a job here, and I've got a wife
you
here.
You get a job anywhere. You're a smart
guy.
Yeah,
but remember, I'm 53 years old, and my wife is 53 years old, and she's not comfortable moving to Brazil. You know,
you just seem so. You seem like you're in a negative place. You should get out of there. If it's negative, it's hurting your mind.
Listen to him. Listen to him, Helen. He comes from. Fakeologist. Yeah, he's a guy to listen to. Come on, and so is JLB. I mean, come on.
Yeah, my son just got his working visa to Canada, and I got to tell you, when he got his working visa, he threw a party. I mean, he's Korean.
He's coming to Canada?
He's Korean, and he hates this country. I'll send him over to you, Ab. I'll figure out where he is and where you are, and I'll send him over. You've talked to Jamin.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, he'll like Canada. Canada needs a lot of people.
He was there for a year. He absolutely loved it. It broke his heart to leave.
Oh, he'll love it. It better get a winter coat though.
Yeah. But I would rather go to Canada than Korea to the United States, going from the fry pan to the fire. You know, you know, it's the United States is a mess. You know, I mean, 50 years ago, you know, 60, fantastic country, and now it's a mess.
All right. I'm not sure that's true either, but it's a mess if you plug in, but I think people are becoming more and more unplugged, and that's a good thing.
I mean, you guys are, you know, but I mean, I've got friends that don't, you know, that don't, I've got two friends on Discord. I've got a whole group of fakeologist friends, and on the other channels, I got a whole group of gamer friends. And I can tell you that the gamer friends are dead asleep. They are dead asleep, you know. And trying to wake them up, I mean, it is militant ignorance that these guys practice. They don't even want to talk about it, you know.
Well, if they're gamers, they live in a virtual world. They love that world. Why would they come into the real world?
Yeah.
Probably not as exciting.
Yeah, I guess. So.
Yeah. Why do people game? It's
an escape. It's an escape.
Why do people do drugs? They want to escape.
Yeah. I've got a friend. He was a gamer friend of mine for, it's got to be 10 years. I knew him when he was 18, and now he's 28 years old. He's a computer professional. Never had a girlfriend.
Did you get blood?
No. What's that? Do I get blood? Yeah. No. No, I don't do any of that stuff.
I swear off doctors.
I don't go to dentists.
I just drained a whole pint out of me yesterday. You know, I feel a lot better today.
Mm-hmm. Good luck with that, dude.
A whole pint. You should try it. You give blood, Rollo?
Oh. No.
You should.
It is a very unnatural thing to have your skin pierced by a needle, dude. It's very unnatural.
There are people that need blood. This is my public announcement.
Vampires.
This is a little bit touchy, Ab. I hope you don't mind me going down this path with you, but when you give the blood, you're doing that to, like, in your mind, you're doing that to help people in need. Is that your main?
Yes.
Have you looked into where the blood goes or what happens to it after it comes?
Well, do you mean people buy it to drink it?
maybe not to drink it, but like in Australia, for instance, I've looked into this, and the company that's responsible for collecting blood in Australia is overtly a privately owned company who take the blood, and it isn't a matter of they take it and then, you know, test it to make sure it's safe and then give the blood to someone who is short of blood. They take the blood and turn it into essentially pharmaceuticals, but they're different to pharmaceuticals. They're better than pharmaceuticals because they're biological. So if I was to go and give blood to our, and our blood company, like, they kind of market themselves as, you know, saving people's lives and blah, 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 but they're not. They're quite overtly, it's not a conspiracy. It's just not very well known. They're quite overtly a private company who take the blood and then create essentially pharmaceuticals from the blood. So they're taking, if I was to give blood, they'd be taking my blood, which is my body's own creation and very, very essential to me. And they would take it from me and then they would turn it into products that they sell.
Well, I don't know if we do that here. I think we have a private company that I think is a Crown Corporation. It's very hard to research. You should look into it. I'm trying to figure out how much they spend, and it's hard to find. But I know they spend a ton of money here, and it's a whole thing. And they even had what I believe is a fake event to transform it 25 years ago or so, where they brought a big transformation when the whole AIDS hoax came about. And they transformed the whole blood industry. It's quite fascinating. And again, it's I was just bringing it up because I think it is possible that when you do drain out some of your blood, you do regenerate. Of course, I think there might be a little boost to your system. It could be totally psychological, but or maybe they're propagating a myth to get people to donate. But it's just I do feel pretty good today.
Donated
because I had a good nap.
I donated blood. I donated blood when I was in 1984. I said to Dell the other day, I don't remember much of that year. I had a massive back operation and donated 3 quarts of blood to come back to me because I had scoliosis and they threw a,
are you saying, so you needed blood then?
But they gave me my own blood back.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Not blood to someone else, though. I'm not sure about blood going to other people.
You know what? If you need it one day, you'll appreciate it. And you can't, if you lose blood, you can't generate it fast enough to survive. So you do need blood. I was only bringing it up as a health thing.
I would, if I'm going to bleed out, oh, here you come. Here you go.
Damn. How long is this podcast going to be?
Yeah, good point. We started off with Chubbs, I think. Me and Chubbs were having a little bit of a... I wanted Carol Thomas to come in, and you've verified Carol.
Yeah.
Yeah, beautiful, beautiful lady. I've spoken to her. I've seen her face on Skype. She's beautiful, and she's got lovely things to say. Huh?
We've never heard from her. We have to get her on.
I agree, but she didn't want to come in tonight.
Yeah.
But she said she might come in. John and her were having a bit of a back and forth the other night.
Yeah.
And, John did his own little thing with MQT, someone. So,
questions and answers. I heard that.
Well, John, that was, Carol Thomas. You're a little bit, I think, John gets a little bit cranky because the people here at fakeologist.com or here on the Discord, certainly in the audio chat here,
we're pretty cool.
I think we should go a little easier on each other, I think. I think John's a bit too hard.
Can you give me an example?
In typing, I think you're a little bit, I think you're trying to,
typing is a really bad communication.
Yeah, it is fucked up, isn't it? You're right.
You can't hear the person's voice. You realize there's a whole generation that just types now. The younger generation, they don't talk, and it's really destructive. Now, I don't think it's intentional, probably, but it's very destructive. We really got to get talking. Yeah, there's no tone. You can't detect
the tone. Yeah, you're right. And I'm sure John LeBron's not out there just to agitate.
John always comes across really good on the audio, and that's why we like
absolutely.
By the way, John, your latest audio on your paid site, I know it's on Vimeo. I was trying to rip it, but I think you've protected the video file, so I can't even rip the audio, and I can't sit in front of the computer for half an hour. Is there any way?
Yeah, I understand. That's an issue. No, that's a good point. I've had other people bring this up. I haven't found a workaround for this yet, because here's the issue. Yeah. If I put up the audio purely as an MP3 to my own server, then it's no longer restricted to the full members, right? If I don't put the, like, no matter what I do through Vimeo, it will defeat the purpose altogether if I'm to upload it as an MP3. Now, what I would love to do is to use a similar service to Vimeo for audio, but the problem with Podbean is Podbean don't have the same kind of domain restriction that Vimeo has. So I haven't really got a working workaround yet. So I know for people like yourself who you're like me, you don't want to sit in front of a computer and watch stuff. You want to have it in audio. I fully understand that. Unfortunately, I haven't come up with a workaround yet, but really that should be my next project. So I might even make that like a top priority for this week is to try and find a way so that people like you and me who prefer to listen rather than to sit and watch, there's a direct option for them. I'll see what I can come up with.
Well, try that link, Ab.
You can create a restricted audio feed, a feed with needs a password, but because I know Crow does something like that.
No, but see, the thing is you can get around Crow's. Like I know that you can very easily get around. Yeah, like, you know how Crow releases the first hour free and then the second hour you have to pay for? If you know what you're doing, you can easily access your second hour. It's a piece of piss.
But, you know, I just think paywalls, and I'll say this, I said it to Rolo's favorite guy, Marcus Allen, who's probably listening now.
He's not my favorite guy. Come on, go easy.
That's sarcasm, sorry.
Was that sarcasm? Okay, keep going.
A little bit. See, only you get that because only you care. But when you put paywalls, it's so hard to download anything for free for the average normie, as you call them, that any extra step you put is just going to cut your penetration, your market penetration in exponentially.
Yeah, if your suggestion, if your argument is that by having a paywall, less people will see the content that I'm putting there, then I completely agree with you. That's the entire idea. That's the whole idea.
I know, but
we are in furious agreement.
I know, but what's the point then? That's the point. You got to get the message out.
What do you mean? What's the point? Like, clearly,
the point is that he has to live. You know,
I know you have to live, but the donor model works pretty well, I think. I look at the No Agenda show, unless they lie every single week with their numbers, these guys are making big bucks. And if you just make it easy to shoot a few bucks here and there and just leave everything as easy as possible to get to, I think you're going to do better.
Well, you could be right. I could be making less money with my model than if I was to have a completely open donor model. That is plausible as well. Maybe one day, privately, you and I can sit down and compare the revenues you're generating with your donation model to my paywall model. And then maybe we could have like an actual objective comparison. But for the time being, one of the main reasons why I like my model is because there's a lot of content that I'm releasing that I do not want the regular Sleeple subscribers on my YouTube channel to access. I do not want them to access it. They're people who say the most nasty things about me. They say, I hope your firstborn child dies. I mean, I made a video just today with it. That's the kind of shit that these people leave comments for me. The stuff that takes me hours and hours to make, I don't want them to have access to it. And by putting up a paywall, bang, they're gone. I'm filtering out the bad people. Now, there could still be some bad people who will pay $5 a week. I can't stop that. But that's very, very unlikely. You know, the kind of people who hate me or who think I'm a paid shill or all this kind of nonsense, they're not paying $5 a week. They're not seeing my good content. So it's not simply a case of trying to maximize how much revenue I get. It's also filtering out the bad people who I do not like and who I do not want accessing my good stuff.
Okay. So the good stuff is behind the wall, you're saying.
Holy shitballs, Batman. That's going to rip at the heartstrings at anyone. But
yeah. Look, yeah, that's really nasty.
Why do people say that shit? What? Because it gets paid agents to do that, or what? Why would people write that?
Well, people just say that stuff. People will say nasty things if you've made them not feel good. And we've even seen it with people like Unreal. He's also accusing me of being a paid shill. Zalian accuses me of being a paid shill. Why would they say these kinds of things about me? Because I say stuff that makes them feel not good. So this is what humans do. And it doesn't even make them bad people. But I have every right to say, you know what? Those of you who would react that way when I say things are going to make you feel bad, well, there are some things I've learned about the world that might make you feel bad, because for a while there, they made me feel bad. So you don't get access to them unless you pay. I know you're not going to pay, so you don't get access. Bang. And then when I spend that time putting those hours into making those videos, I'm doing that knowing the only people who see this are the kind of people I want to see it. Whereas in the past, when I was putting hours and hours into YouTube videos, a lot of time I think to myself, why am I doing this? Most of the people who see this video hate me.
You do a great job on your media. I think any media outlet should hire you for whatever. You're a very
exactly.
highly skilled.
If there was mainstream media that was honest, Bond would be the first thing that should be on the television in the morning.
Well, I don't push my media like you do, because I have a more than full time job, but. I think you do pretty well with the donor model. If you were a regular, like the No Agenda show, I think you do well. And I think
maybe my point isn't making sense here. I'm not the paywall there to make money.
That's one of the benefits. You're keeping the barbarians out. I get it. The barbarians are at the gate.
Gone.
I've been on this. Oh, I'm sorry. People like Unreal.
People that, don't forget, your haters love you more than the people that say they love you. They pay more attention to you than even I do. Your haters are waiting for every word to leak out of your mouth so they can attack you. So they're more passionate about you. You should embrace them.
But he's too cocky. He's too cocky. We played it before.
He's cocksure. Cocksure.
Cocksure.
Oh, man, I've been on this.
You know what I like about this audio chat? I like that people you think have already talked haven't talked, like O'Hallahan and JLB. There's so many combinations of people that once you hear them talk, it's always interesting. I always like for new introductions and interactions. I think it's great. This is a pretty cool community here.
I think so. I hope lovely Carol Thomas will come onto the mic very soon. She's a lovely lady, and who's your Sarian? Is he going to come up to the mic or not?
You'd have to ask him to send a little text because you muted him now. But
let me unmute him.
He's a cool guy from, I believe, Tasmania. I think he said. So many
there
Australians.
We go. I'm muted. There, your Sarian. Hello. Seems to be there. He's probably off playing a game.
No. He just said, I'm just listening.
Listening. Okay.
Mute him back so we don't echo through. And he's a cool guy. I talked to him on an audio chat in the past. He's an older gent. He wouldn't give me too much information, but that's fine. We're not here to expose anyone who doesn't want to be exposed for listening to this weird chat. I don't like the word weird, by the way. Weird is such a...
Weirdo here is John LeBon. Come on, let's face it.
I'll get to her. Yeah.
But if you really want the weird stuff, you got to pay.
Yeah.
Well, you won't find any talk about lizard people behind the paywall. But O'Hallahan, if you're up for an interview, I'd love to do a proper 2-hour feature interview with O'Hallahan and on the lizard people.
I don't think there's 2 hours with me, dude. You know, I don't think there's
that.
Yeah, I don't think there's 2 hours of content with me. You know,
I love
I think I basically shot my load right here. You know, like I can't, you know, I don't know. I you know, I'm going to get on the paid side of your site and just say, I don't know, John. You know, I think it might be like this, but I don't know. You know, no one wants to hear that.
Save the good stuff for the pay. You must have the good goo in there. Could you combine goo with lizards?
Yeah, that's funny. You know, I'm a Crow fan too, and listening to Crow's full hour. I got a friend who does, you know, she pays him $5, and when she's done, I'm gonna pay him $5. But I think his podcast is really good, I gotta look into John's stuff. You know, I didn't even have John's YouTube bookmarked until now. I got it, John, bookmarked now. I'll start watching your videos. I did, the one thing with Crow, he had on a computer expert, and I'm making the finger quotes, you know. And this guy was talking about how Windows 10 is basically spyware. And I was doing the head nod, you know, like, yeah, that's. And then he gets to Linux, and he says, well, is Linux an alternative? And he says, well, yeah, sure, it works just fine if you can write your own programs. I've been using Linux since 1999. The old Red Hat, you know, SUSE Linux from Germany. And back in 1999, I was using Linux. I'd never wrote my programs. I don't know what the guy was talking about. You know, I tried furiously to get on, and I wanted to talk to Crow about that, but obviously I sent him an email, but I guess he wasn't interested.
Hey, I got a quick question for Mr. LeBon there, or Ann Rollo. This is a totally off fakeology topic, but I'm looking into solar energy right now, and I have a funny feeling it is going to, especially in the sunny areas of the world, which is, I believe, Australia, is really going to blow the whole energy market upside down. I think oil may never come back up in the future now. Oil is down in the 40s. And I'm just wondering what your thoughts are on solar power, because I recently just popped on a few panels, and I can't believe the energy that they produce now, the good ones. And looking at India and Australia, all the places in Africa where the sun is always out, even Winnipeg, mind you, I really think it's going to turn the energy market upside down. Any comments?
Jerry Can? Jerry Can Man the other night, and the amount of chemicals and whatnot is to make those damn things. It's around. It's okay, way more efficient.
They probably take some chemicals, but I'm just asking if. You guys have any comments?
John LeBon might have more. What are you into?
I haven't looked into solar yet, but my suspicion is that there's more energy that goes into building the panels than is actually brought out of the panels. And the only this is my suspicion. I haven't even tried to prove this yet. But the only reason why they would seem economical is because of all the subsidies that are given to them by the government. And certainly in my country, there are huge subsidies given to solar power. I actually spent a couple of weeks working in a call center casually. And what had happened was the state government here in Queensland, which is our third most populous state. Brisbane is a pretty big city by Western standards. What had happened was the Queensland state government had suddenly changed the feed-in tariff. That is, if you're producing more electricity on your roof or on your panels than you're using, you can sell it back into the grid. What had happened was, They had a feed-in tariff that was some ridiculous amount. Don't quote me, but it might have been like 40 cents per kilowatt or something. So people were making thousands of dollars a year simply by having these solar panels on their roof. So there's no way the government could keep paying out that kind of money. So they suddenly changed.
Thing. This is a global thing. We had it here.
You didn't let me tell the best part of the story, dude. So what happened was the government suddenly said, we're going to change the laws, but we're going to grandfather them. You've got another month or so before we're going to change the laws. So anyone who got the panels installed in that period of time were basically signing up to make thousands of dollars of free money per year. So the whole thing was an absolute rort. Anybody who was involved in installing solar panels up until that point, and especially for that last month, they had a license to print money. Because what you were basically doing was paying forward a revenue stream for 20 years. The whole thing was a complete scam, dude.
I know the story. And the story is the same thing happened here, too. And I'm just using it for my own generation right now. And, of course, I'm all excited now because the sun has been out for 2 days in a row. But I still think that...
Who pays, Jono? For all this.
Well, in this particular case that I'm citing, the one that I had direct experience of, because what had happened was they changed the rules. So all of a sudden, the government department that usually would get called about this kind of thing, they were getting call volumes they couldn't handle, which is why they suddenly had to hire a whole bunch of temps to help handle the calls. So we were given training in just basically, you know, here's the changes to the legislation. If somebody asks this, this is what you say. You know what I mean? We didn't have to be experts. Yeah. We just had to make sure we stuck to what we were told. This is the legislation, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. So anyway, the point of my story is I had no idea about this, the feed-in tariffs. I don't own a house. I definitely didn't have panels. I never would have guessed that people were making these crazy feed-in tariffs. So it's one of those fields where the people who knew were able to make the money. The people who didn't know, this is like any government. This is like any rort from a government stepping into an industry. Same idea. The people who know are the ones who profit. The ones who don't know get left behind, right? Yeah. So in that case, who was paying? The state government. Now, why would the state government have ever agreed to give like 40 cents, whatever it was, feeding tariffs in the first? Why would they have ever agreed to that in the first place? I don't know why they would agree to that in the first place. I don't know whose pockets were lined by that.
They were trying to stimulate an industry, and I think it has worked a lot globally. And I just asked more a general question. I know that a lot of the initial funding looks like a scam, but that's how all funding has to be through the government because they have all the money, and private industry would never take the risk because they lose their shirt because they can't pass the laws to make them.
9/11.
This sounds like an inside job too. Well, everything is an inside job in a way. I just want to know if you guys thought that it was going to be transformative, especially in the sunny places like where you live. That was
it's a bad idea, Scott. It's a bad idea. Well, here's my thinking: is that with solar, you got an expensive collector. It's fragile. And it's expensive and it's high tech, right? And I'm not talking about passive solar. Like if you've got, you're living in the northern hemisphere and you've got big, you know, windows, you know, pointing south so that the sun rays come in and you've got thermal mass in your house that absorbs the heat and radiates it at night. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about these expensive high tech panels on the house. First of all, what's the biggest problem, right? The biggest problem is we only have sun for half the day, right? And the second problem is that
not in the summer.
You're only getting energy from the sun at specific hours of that day, right? It's not, you don't start getting energy as soon as twilight, you know, happens, right? It's usually from like, I'm going to assume.
At 5:30, my panel started generating power.
And when does it stop?
About 8:30.
About 8:30, and it's always the same amount of light being generated.
No, it's totally variable.
You get more as the sun gets high, and then you get less as it goes low.
When the sun is directly overhead, it gets great. I think it's a cloudy day.
Get anything on a cloudy day?
Well, yeah. I mean, there's the thing is that first of all. Yeah, right there, your time collecting energy is cut in half because half the time it's nighttime. But also, and then you've got cloudy days, you've got inclement weather. And so that, you know, right there, I mean, collecting it by wind power would be much, much better.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. It depends where the wind, if the wind's blowing, it's the same old problem. I just thought in some of these areas, like the desert, and you got a lot of desert in Australia. It was more a question for the Australians if it's going to transform your energy market. I think it will.
The mountain and the sun arcs on the other side of the mountain.
You have a vast desert there, right? And so does Africa.
Well, no one's out there. Yeah, you're right. It's vast.
There's a lot. Yeah. If they're going to dig for oil, dead dinosaurs in the ground, in Saudi Arabia. They can cover the sand with solar panels.
He didn't go out into the middle. He went up to North Queensland, I'm sure. He didn't go in central. God damn. That.
I just think it's going to be a revolution.
Sorry, I don't mean to disrupt. All right. But I don't even know where this is going.
My lawn. It's going nowhere. It was just a lawn? General question. It was a general well, question.
I was going to play a little bit of Who's Lying, Comey or Trump is your top thing. I was just going to play a little bit of this.
Well, just before you do, okay, Robert, just before you do, I've just got
a serious human being that you have to contribute to this illusion because they're all liars. And the Russians, of course, they would want to hack the election because there's one simple.
Sorry, guys. John, I wanted to say something.
Go ahead.
Yeah, just quickly. I wanted to ask Gab. Like, it seems like every time we have a call, he brings up the paywall and how he doesn't like the paywall. Can I ask you, Ab, like, do you have a fundamental problem with this idea of people using topics like what we talk about to create paid content? Like, do you have a fundamental?
No,
because you seem
really.
To bring it up every single time, even though I've extended the offer for a free 1 month upgrade to your membership, so you can check out what's back there. My way to say month? Thanks to you.
I thought you gave me a lifetime membership.
No, it's only a month, and I'm starting to regret that because it feels like every time we have a chat. Every time we have a chat, you're trying to talk down the paywall
John,
model. So I'm just wondering.
I was just telling you, I was trying to get into your audio and I was giving you valuable feedback on how difficult I was finding it. That was the main thing.
No, that part I agree with you. And that part I said I'm going to try and find a workaround. And then you said, you know what you should do is you should do the giveaway material model like you did for 2 years before moving to the model you're on now. You should go back to what you were doing before is basically what you were saying. And I was like, you seem to bring it up every time we have a chat. I'm just wondering if you have a fundamental problem with this idea.
Well, it's not fundamental. I'm actually just trying to continue to help you more than anything.
Let me make an analogy for you, right? We've all cooked food before for people who have appreciated our meal and thanked us. And we've all made meals before for people who didn't appreciate our efforts at all. And we know the difference that it makes to us when we're cooking the food, knowing what kind of people we're cooking for. And I put to you that when I make videos for my YouTube channel, it's analogous to me having a big hall full of people and I'm cooking food, knowing that half of them are going to throw it back in my face and then come back the next week and do the same thing all over again when I give it away for free. They'll keep coming back and throwing it in my face, right? Most of them don't even eat the food. They're just there to throw it in my face. That's all they're there for, right? Whereas when you have a paywall model, then it's like, no, it's not free now. It's very, very small amount, $5 a week. Anyone can afford that. But I know you're not going to pay that just to throw it in my face now. I know you're going to sit down and at least have a look at it first. Get rid of all of the people who are going to throw it in my face. Only people who are left are people who might enjoy it and might even thank me for it for the time that goes into it. By paying, they are saying thanks. You know what? Cooking the food for those 20 or 30 people, far more enjoyable than it was for the thousands before who threw it in my face. Do you understand this analogy?
John,
Does this analogy make sense to you?
John, I guess I've lived long enough. Sure it does. I guess I've lived long enough to see this whole story unfold with Marcus Allen, who I actually liked. I liked the guy before he started being kind of attacking in a lot of ways. But Rollo knows this. We had a whole debate about this with Marcus 5 years ago.
He's one guy. Marcus Allen is one guy. What does it have to do with me? What does it have to do with me?
Because everything you just said is what we argued about 5 years ago.
Yeah, but what does that have to do with me? Your arguments with Marcus Allen. Bring up whatever your arguments against the paywall model are, bring them up to me now. It has nothing to do with Marcus Allen.
It does, because I said the whole thing 5 years ago, and I was just trying to relate to Rollo because he probably remembers this whole thing.
Relate it to me. What is your argument against it?
It just makes it too difficult to access the information.
That's the whole idea. That's the whole idea.
I know, but I guess it's just what your goal is, and your goal is just to have people around you that like you and are not going to be mean to you. If that's
no, they don't have to like me. They don't have to like me. They don't have to like anything of what I'm doing.
They can't be mean to you.
I haven't deleted a single comment, not a single comment on my website.
You don't want them to be mean to you, so you want to restrain your site to people.
No, they can be mean to me. What are you talking about? They can be as mean to me as they want.
You just said you don't like the comments when they're attacking you and your potential firstborn.
Well, yeah, I've said to you that on YouTube, there are people who are literally there saying that I hope that your firstborn dies a painful death. That's the kind of shit you put up with on YouTube. Those are the kind of people you have to deal with. Are those people going to pay $5 a week? Do you think they're going to pay $5 a week?
No, so you're keeping them out with your paywall. That's right. So you're going to keep them out with your paywall. That's your choice. I'm just saying.
But I'm not keeping them out. They can pay the $5 if they want to. They're not going to.
Oh, okay. All right. So in effect, what we're saying is they're going to be staying out based on the fact that they have to pay, and they're not going to pay to be hateful.
But they have every right to if they want to. They have every right, but they're not going to.
Anyway,
why would they?
Find it funny that this debate was. We had the exact debate 5 years ago with someone who was very similar to you.
You don't even want
to
say.
But it has nothing to do with me. The whole Marcus Allen.
Am I right, Rolo?
Let's
back me up.
Let's just say this. John LeBron, you're here at the behest of Ab right now.
Discord. Yeah, I know,
you are at the behest of Ab, and you have every right and to put a paywall on your site.
And on you if you get away, if you can do it. But Rolo, do you remember this with Marcus, the whole debate about this?
Of course I do. I don't want to have that argument. I don't want to have it. I like John. I like you, especially. Yeah. And I like Typo even more, but that's neither here nor there. But
and you like beer.
This is Fakeologist, and you have every right to say whatever the hell you like. And you guys can go back and forth. I didn't want to get in the middle of it, but I just thought constructive. John LeBron is incredible intelligence. I would not want to argue with him, but here we are on Fakeologist.com audio chat. So we have to abide by the boss, and the boss is Ab.
Well, we're not. There's no rules being laid down. We're just chatting.
I like to think of it that way. We're here on Fakeologist.com audio chat. It's that simple.
Exactly.
I'm
going to go get on with my day and go watch the sun beat up my solar panel.
I'm going to try. Do you know what I'm going to try and do? Convince.
No.
I can let John LeBron come down here in August for a week, and we're going to do some audios and stuff.
All right.
Well, we were going to, but then Chrissy put the foot down and said, no, John LeBron is too cocky. So, unfortunately, he's put the kibosh on the whole thing. So.
But hey, I'll put the foot down. I can put the foot down, too. Don't you worry about that, mate.
Who's the boss there, right?
Exactly. What with a tune? Smell the Roses. What do you reckon?
How about Let's Get Loud?
Smell the Roses?
Guys, I'm sorry to interrupt. I got to bow out.
Yeah, I got about
to. I got to get something to eat and go to bed.
Me too. So, good chat, everyone. Hey, great.
Good talking to you, Hallahan. And Tab.
Yeah, you too, John.
Be good.
Yeah. Grab me on not Skype, but grab me on Discord if you want to anytime. You know, I'm around. So, love to talk to you again.
Is John A still there? Nah, he's gone.
No, I'm still here. I'm just
here. Hey, John, thank you, mate. John, I really, really thank you. You really do fire things up and good on you. I'm going to play a crappy, I know my audio is crappy, but I'm going to play Smell the Roses. Roger Waters Roger Waters' brand new album. I know. See you later, mate.
Always gone. Hey, Rolo, great.
See you, mate. See you, man. Psychologist.com. Roger Waters, Smell the Roses.
There's a mad dog pulling at his chain, an empty danger in his eye. Alarm bells raging round his brain, and the chimney's talking in the sky. Wake up and smell the roses. Close your eyes and pray this wind don't change. There's nothing but screams in the field of dreams. Nothing but hope at the end of the road. Nothing but gold in the chimney smoke. Come on, honey, it's real money. Oh,
This is the room where they make these posters, where they put your name on the phone. Here's where they bury the butts and the ifs and scratch out words like right and wrong. Wake up and smell the phosphorus. This is the room we keep the human at. Don't ask, don't tell, it could be a loss for us. Yeah, little is cash in the stash in the cupboard at the bottom of the stair. Money, money.
Hi, this is Derillium, and you're listening to Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.